Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Ted Santos, and it's Friday. And you know what happens on Friday. We sit back and we do a little bit of YouTube and chill. And before we get into it, and tonight's going to be very interesting, we'll make it as provocative as you guys can handle. Let's get a little bit of a caveman beat. Let's jump to the rhythm before we get started. Good evening. It is Friday, and I am in the most expensive state in the nation. It's called New Jersey. The New Jersey, right across the river from the New York. And tonight, well, we're going to do what we always do on Friday nights. We're going to sit back. We're going to chill. We're going to talk about some interesting topics. Maybe even some of you who have given me your hate mail, whether it's from Instagram, Facebook, texting. Love to get you in on this conversation to tell the world how much you hate me And the things that I say are so provocative. Me, the, what? How do you all call me? The He-Man woman haters. Well, tonight we're going to chill. We're going to talk about lots of things. On Friday night, I like to talk about sex and intimacy. We always do it from a man's perspective. And we really like to drill down and get into things instead of dealing with what's on the surface. So Friday night, it's the YouTube and chill time. And I have some things on my mind. You guys know I always like to do that. I like to share that. And I have also, we're on YouTube, so if you guys like to jump in the conversation at any time, you can. I'll drop the link so you can do that. And if you'd like to call in, let me provide you with a number where you can call in and jump in the conversation. The phone number is 323-642-1387. That's 323-642-1387. So if you haven't smashed the like button, this is a good time to do that. Subscribe to my channel if you haven't, and share this. So, you know, we get into life, love, really just intimacy, sex and intimacy from a man's perspective. And I'd like to talk about something that was on my mind. I wrote it out with these kinds of thoughts. There's so much going on in the world with all the media outlets. Many people are in a state of information overwhelm. I mean, you guys, whether it's the, you watch, whether it's the news or the internet, social media, there's all kinds of things that are just being thrown at us. And as soon as things appear to get better, another wrench is thrown in. We see this with the virus. One of the things I would like to discuss is this notion of what people believe they deserve. And let me tell you where I'm coming from with that. If you or anyone walks into a Bugatti dealer and you say, I want that particular, that car right there, they might say, car is going to cost you $5 million. If you don't have that amount of money, it doesn't matter what you believe your worth is. You did not do the things to earn $5 million to be able to pay for that car, or at least be able to finance it. The same goes when people talk about, I want this great body, this shape. If you didn't go to the gym or engage in exercise and the diet to create that body, you just don't deserve it. So what am I getting at? The same pattern of I deserve it, I know my worth, this entitlement happens in relationships. And very few people take the time to understand what is required to obtain the things they believe they deserve. So we hear men, women talking about this high-value man that they know they deserve and they know they're worth and they should have this kind of guy. And yet they don't have that guy in their life. Why is that? Why is it that if you truly believe you deserve something, and you should have it, and you know your worth, and you should have all these fine things, except you have no idea what it costs. So if you wanted a Bugatti, and you're, let's say you're working your way towards having the financial capacity to buy it, it might be a smart idea to walk into a Bugatti dealer and talk to them about what it costs and what you get for the amount of money. So what do you get in return for what it costs to buy a Bugatti? And if you have the money, you can buy it. If you don't, well, at least you know what to expect when you want to purchase one. Same if you want this fantastic body with this physical shape, endurance, power, cut, form, all that. You need to speak to a trainer and understand the diet and the exercise routine and the time it's going to take to develop that. So what we see in relationships, and often we see this from women who say, I deserve this kind of man, I deserve this kind of relationship, but they didn't inquire to find out what is required to actually attract, to be able to get that and maintain it. Yet we hear all this stuff about what I'm worth without putting in the work. So whether you want to buy a Bugatti or have this beautiful body, it's going to take a certain amount of work and effort to get it. So, you know, and I think what makes matters worse is a lot of women believe they shouldn't have to put in any effort to have a relationship. I mean, this becomes outrageous. I'm the prize and you should give me whatever I want, and in return, the man gets nothing. So, you know, there's a cost to get the finer, the best things in life. You want to win the gold medal in the Olympics? Hell, ask Usain Bolt how many times he vomited during practice. Ask Arnold Schwarzenegger, who was 7-time Mr. Olympia, how many times he vomited during his training. So these are people who paid the cost to get to where they are. So when it comes to a relationship, I find it very odd that lots of women understand if they want a certain type of job, there is an education, you have to either pay the money, get a loan, you have to do certain things. You get an undergrad, a master's, a PhD, you go to law school. You understand that you have to put in this kind of effort to earn that. But when it comes to relationship, somehow all of that goes out the window. So are we raising girls and women to believe that are we saying that men are not worth the effort? Like, what are we really communicating to women to have them believe that they're entitled to the best man without them putting in any effort? And when the best man does come their way, they have full access to all of his money and his assets without doing much at all, except offering what is really a commodity, what's between their legs. So I just find it odd, you know, and we're wondering why relationships aren't working. Even sex, if you believe that you're entitled to all this stuff and, you know, you're what you offer in return is sex, that has taken relationships to very much a transactional relationship, as opposed to an intimate relationship where people grow and share and express themselves, like the place you get to be yourself and you grow together and you build things together. Like, that seems like it's old fashioned. And as a result, well, what's the impact? Marriages that are at an all-time low, men have figured out that that's a bad deal. And the worst part is I end up losing half to a woman who didn't pay the price of entry. And so, guys, it's good that marriages are dropping, but we also have to put our foot down and really hold women accountable for the things they want. They don't walk into Bugatti dealers and demand that they have that Bugatti just because they know their worth. A woman knowing her worth has nothing to do with the fact a Bugatti may cost you $1 million, $5 million, $20 million, whatever the cost is. If you can't write that check or be financed, your worth is irrelevant. You don't deserve it. And if you're a woman who's overweight and believe you should have this physically fit guy with a six pack and makes all this money, like, how does that work? How does you being unhealthy entitle you to a man who has actually committed his life to being physically fit? And for all the ladies who take the shortcut and get injections and stuff removed from here and, you know, relocate it, restructuring a body, that's not transformation. That's still unhealthy. And the long-term effects are even worse. So perhaps we need to re-educate our society about how relationships work and what's required from both people. Because if what was working was effective, marriage rates would be at an all-time high. And the proof is marriage rates are at an all-time low. They first started recording marriage rates in 1865, and it's never been this low before. And they are still dropping, and divorce is still, it's still a problem. So I want to take some calls. Those are some of my thoughts. I know you guys have some great thoughts. I'd like to hear yours. So let me take a call from area code 310, and you guys can join the conversation. The number is 323-642-1387. That's 323-642-1387. And if you'd like to jump in on YouTube, I drop the link and join us. In the meantime, let's hear what area code 310, what's on your mind? What's your name and where you calling?
What's up, Ted? Okay. West Coast, Reginald, West Coast Bridge calling out of Negroville, Atlanta, Georgia.
Simpville, why do you call it Simpville?
Man, because this place, I'm from Los Angeles, I'd have been, you know, other countries and many states and whatever, but living here, I'd have seen the Simp, I think this got to be the Simp capital of the world.
You said
I really believe
the simp
capital of the world. You know,
okay.
Yeah, the simp capital of the world.
I've never seen
so many bottom feeding, uneducated, unsophisticated, scandalous, pretentious ass women that seem to be living a very comfortable, luxurious life off the backs of simps. These guys are some of the biggest tricks. Pedestalize mediocre ass fucking broads. Fake broads. I've been in this city for 14 years, and I remember when I first moved here out of Los Angeles, South Central. And I was just paying attention to this interaction between the men and the women, predominantly on the people with the permanent tan side, the Negroes. I was just puzzled by it because not so much even from the guys that's from the South, but just the people that moved here and just how everything was moving, it's very interesting. I mean, these chicks move here. I mean, you got strippers, these reality show people, these women, these women have no education, really, none. Okay, not the education, but they're kind of, I don't want to say that they're very, they're not intelligent, they're not sophisticated, but they live very good lives. And all of this is because of the simp nature of the men here, predominantly the Negro guys.
Let me ask you, Reggie, when I hear people, even in abusive relationships, when people say, one thing I'm saying, you got the background.
Oh, do what? Okay. Why are you talking?
Yeah.
I'm at work, so I'm trying to like hear.
Okay. So one of the things that I would say is that no matter what the situation, if people, either if they stay in that relationship or situation, or they don't remove themselves, they must be getting something out of it. Like, you know, they're getting a payoff. Somehow they're benefiting, even if the rest of the world doesn't see it. Who is that? Bill Withers had that song, keep on using me till you use me up. And, you know, he said, all my friends say you abuse me and speak badly about me in public and how horrible you are. But if they only knew how good it felt, just keep on using me. So they were getting something out of it. So I'm asserting that these men, and whether it's Atlanta or anywhere, who are being simps, they either they're getting something or they are I'll say suffering the illusion of believing they're getting something. Or what do you think? Or is just a hope? They're hoping to get something and they're paying for hope. So what do you think is happening there?
I can't really tell you that, but because I can tell you, you know, this place, I don't go to strip clubs, but I know even you got professional men or athletes and people who go up in these strip clubs and just throw money around like nothing to these brothers, right? And so I was giving you kind of the mindset of this place and maybe any other place that I don't that you know, it just, you know, you know what this is basically is men have devoured themselves and elevated women above themselves. Men don't think that much of themselves. That's what this is all about. And it might have something to do like what you said, that post you had about men mastering themselves. Don't worry about mastering women or mastering, you know, this has a lot to do with that. And basically, yeah, man, society has basically pedestalized these broads. You ought to see what I'm looking at right now. I'm looking at a female just coming on duty. And I've seen this. I heard people complaining about this girl, right? She's a cop here working off duty. That's how they make the bulk of their money. They're probably paying this woman good money. And she don't do nothing. Matter of fact, I've seen her spending about 30, 40 minutes before her shift in there doing her makeup in her car, and I didn't know who she was. And then when she got out and started putting on her uniform, I realized who she was. And I'm just like, wow. And she don't do nothing. I can't imagine what she would do on patrol. I mean, if it's too cold or something, she's going to put on, I mean, they be telling me about her. So, and this is an official Atlanta PD police officer.
We have programs, right? Corporations, institutions have all kinds of programs that tell them to hire women and they get some kind of credit or they are seen as being fair employment, good employers, that kind of thing. So in that case, that's one of the things I'm thinking of. They're getting something out of it. Somehow they're getting some kind of reward. So, I mean, that much of a simp, Red, they must be getting something out of it. And that's why I said, is it an illusion, a hope, or what do you think?
I can't tell you this. I mean, you got pro athletes that come in and will drop $100,000 in the strip club instead of going out there giving it to some homeless ass men that look like them. You know, I'm just saying. I mean, that type of mindset. I mean, that's prevalent in this city, in this particular city. I mean, I just been out here, you know, because they call this place, you know. Even though it's Chocolate City or Black Hollywood or whatever you want to call it. I mean, but again, just like you said, in a pyramid setting, you know, the people at the top, and then you have the people at the bottom that get an idea that they're actually doing or they're getting somewhere, but they're really not. But you kind of giving them that you're making them feel good. You know what I mean? You're giving them that illusion. Just making them feel that that's all they really care about. You know what I mean?
Atlanta. Almost describing a junkie, man.
Well, you feed them, you know, you feed them the illusion, and that's all they really care about. That's like, you know, a lot of the women, they don't care about that. Hey, Look at these women running with, I mean, I've been with eyelashes on, fake hair, all of this stuff going on. They don't care. I mean, you know, if they give them a good feeling, they don't care about, they don't care about the truth. I mean, they, and so you can even look at that, you know, in a broader sense, you know. They don't, you know, you look into a lot of stuff that goes on in society, they don't really care. They don't, you know, they don't care as long as they, you know, they feel good or they give, they, you know, they're able to give off the illusion that, you know, illusion to others or and people hyping them up, but they are really, oh, thank you, but they really don't know how screwed up. But all they, you know, all they care about is the false illusion and the feel good and the accolations that really not warranted. You know, I got on, I was on Facebook yesterday or today, and it was something, I don't know if you was on it, you might have commented on it, right? And a woman was saying something about equality and being equal and all of this stuff. And I was saying, I told her that, you know, men and women are not equal and this on no level. So her reply to me today was, everything was about, guess what it was about? About women giving childbirth and being able to breastfeed, and this is what we feel. I was like, hell no, that's what you delivered. I said, every person, every male and female is man-made. But still, and yet, when it came to what their value is, their core value is. And actually, I told her that their value was, you know, their ability to birth a man's seed, right? So all she did was validate. So I told her, when she told me, I said, all you're doing is validating what I told you your only value was to society. Because she, you know, I told her, you know, she broke it all down from carrying the baby, feeding the baby, able to breastfeed, I mean, all of this stuff. But I told her, I said, you know, that is your biological, that's your natural biology, that you're fulfilling. You ain't doing nothing for nobody. I ain't heard back from her after I broke her ass down again, but that just, you know, that just goes showing you, you know, what their value to society really is, but somehow somebody else, you know, has decided to, you know, uplift them above the builders of society, you know.
Yeah, and that's really right now. Every civilization has been built by men. Once all the risk is reduced, eliminated, the hard work is done. When women say, "Let us in and show you, so we can show you what we can do." But they don't want to be there when there's nothing there and there's lots of risk and a lot of hard work.
They still can't do nothing. A lot of the problems is incompetent. They sit here and play the game and do whatever. And then if you get on them, then they go run the HR saying, oh, well, they being discriminated against or they've been sick, they're bad. You know, they play that power game. And like I said,
I understand.
Some men, just like you said, kid, with these broads, all of them, whether they black, white, green, purple, everything that they're getting or whatever, is because somebody at the top of the pyramid is benefiting off their ass. But at the same time, society is suffering. Okay, no, you know what? Society is suffering for a certain class of people. I'll put it to you like that.
Well, you know, hold it. Someone said something interesting, Reggie. He said, a person who is hypnotized and acting under being hypnotized doesn't know they are hypnotized. That's why we need to bounce ideas off of other men who are on the same journey.
Well, I'm going to tell you something. The same men, the same guys, us red pill or black pill or, you know, guys that are woke or MGTOW, Ivy Moore, you know, all of this stuff right here, right? You're going to be alone. You're going to, if you know the truth and know this or whatever, because the problem is the majority of men are softer than butter been out the refrigerator 3 days in the damn summer. When it comes to the female, now he might wear your ass. You in the fight, he might be a monster, whatever. But when it comes to that female, he's soft as butter. Now, we know. Matter of fact, I'm glad I said that because the programming, the societal programming, and actually the female programming of the male mind is a problem. And we talked, and actually me and you have talked about this. At some point during this, I wanted to be able to bring this up because I have been thinking about this as well, okay? So, we're going to have, as long as we're outnumbered like this, we're outnumbered like basically 80-20. I will be stretching to say 70-30. When it comes to woke guys and guys that, that actually know what needs to be done. I don't know if the word fixing this to fix the situation is the right word, because I personally I no longer believe in a traditional relationship or anything traditional at this point, because like I said, me personally, as you hit, hold up, I don't know if these
Hold on, Rick. Go on. Yeah, there you go. What's going on, PJ? Tony G, always good to see you in the house, man. Making some good comments and following up to what Reggie's saying. Walking towards truth means a certain degree of being alone. The question is, if the journey towards truth is worth the cost of everyone turning their back on you? It's a really good question. Do you stay in hypnosis? That's what the whole matrix is about, right? The blue pill, red pill, being under the hypnosis of the matrix. Do you step out? And if you step out, well, the population is not going to be the same outside the matrix as it is inside. The illusion. Interesting about the matrix, even when those guys went back in, I forget his name, when he said, I'm eating this steak and I know it's not real, like he knows he's engaged in actions that are an illusion, but the hope of having some satisfaction from something that isn't even happening and not going to happen. Very, very interesting. I know that's kind of convoluted, but I'm just, I'm listening to Reggie talk about these men who are supporting and what was it, Brittany Renner, who said, athletes are not very smart. So lots of women exploit athletes. So athletes are, while they are high performers and physically fit, they may be traveling the world like pigeons. Pigeons fly in a flock. And hawks and eagles, well, they don't do that. They don't travel in flocks. I live in a part of New Jersey, just I think yesterday or the day before, I was walking and I was watching this flock of pigeons take these very strange directional turns. And then I looked above them and there was a hawk flying over them. So I guess they were attempting to evade the hawk, because I have seen hawks snatch pigeons out and eat them. So pigeons are targets. Hawks are much more difficult to target. You're in a quieter place, Reg? PJ, if you can't stand everyone turning on you, and it may not be so much that people turn on you, that's an interpretation. I'm going to get almost like abstract and esoteric now. So I made a video. I think, I don't know if it was 5 minutes.
Hey, Ted, I want you to hear the hyenas. I want you to hear that
because
I'm in
the... No, no, Reg. I live in New York, Reggie. We have lots of people here, man. I live in Jersey, but... technically, no one can do anything to you. No one is a victim. That's a really... That's a tough group of words for people to be able to chew on, because we live in a society that puts the victim on a pedestal, and playing victim really is a great way to get you off the hook of being responsible for what's happening. So even saying that people turn their back on you is somewhat of being a victim. Like you're not, someone's doing something that you don't like, right? So if you look at a guy like Nikola Tesla, I mean, this guy was talking cell phones in the 1800s. I mean, some people say he was even speaking about the internet 100 years ago, the way he was describing the way you transfer information. It was very abstract. And I don't know if people necessarily turn their backs on them. There are lots of people who... You know, the Wright brothers were ridiculed for wanting to fly a machine. So people can only engage you to the extent they were given anything to engage you with, right? So if I start speaking Russian and you guys don't speak Russian, you're unable to engage me in that. You can only engage me in the language that you were given, if it's English only. So whether it's Nikola Tesla, or the Wright brothers, or there's a gentleman by the name of Robert Goddard, who in the 1920s said, one day man will go to the moon. And I'm going somewhere with this. But when Goddard said, one day man will go to the moon, you figure what, flying started in 1905, 1906 is when they saw they could leverage the laws of aerodynamics and called it flying. So from that 1905, 1906 until the 1920s, here's this guy saying we'll fly to the moon. Well, the New York Times wrote an article insulting Robert Goddard for making such a ridiculous comment about man flying to the moon. It was an impossibility. He was ignorant. He didn't have the intelligence of a elementary school child, was how he was depicted. In the New York Times, of all places. In 1969, the New York Times wrote another article to apologize to him. What the mainstream society could understand about Goddard saying man will go to the moon was it was like a foreign language. It was so far removed from reality. So if you look at guys like the Wright brothers talking about flying, and you look at guys like Nikola Tesla and the innovations that he created, those people were where they were, and our society is better off for those small amount of people who advanced society. So when we look at men who are seeing what women are doing and comprehend it, it's that small group of men who will advance our social structures and specifically relationships between men and women. If no one takes a stand, if no one says anything, if Robert Goddard wouldn't have said anything, if the Wright brothers would have just said, if man were meant to have wings, he would, if man were meant to fly, he would have wings. If Nikola Tesla didn't think of cell phones and all these other things that seemed impossible, where would our society be? So it is really up to guys who develop themselves and have this level of mastery that they can actually see what's happening in front of them without being negatively affected every time things are not going the way you want. And that also makes us the example for more, I hate this word, civilized ways for women to engage men in relationships. Right now, women are presenting to men what they were taught. So that's no different than if you only speak English and I start speaking Russian, it won't be very useful to you. So I don't think it's that anyone turns their back on you, me, or anyone else. Either they don't fully comprehend it, they've been taught it's ridiculous. You know, we could even throw Copernicus in there when Europe believed that all the planets revolved around Earth. And he said, no, that's inaccurate. All the planets go around the sun, including the Earth. And he was executed by the church for heresy. I'm not saying be a martyr in no way. I am saying that people have what they have and you take a stand and it creates another path. There are women who are confused and don't know any better. And they do have respect and honor. You guys remember last Friday, I had a woman who was a sex worker and she talked about how she would like to marry a beta male, but she would resent and have no respect for him because she understands him as being weak. And when she did encounter a guy who stood for something and put boundaries on her, that was the guy she respected the most. And she feared him at the same time because she saw that as an alpha male, and alpha men have access to women. They make rules. They put boundaries. They could be violent. So all of these things she was afraid of. No control. But the beta male, she can control. But the fact of the matter is she doesn't respect the beta male. And I think respect is a low ambition to seek for in any person. Expecting a woman to respect you is kind of like expecting her to have a vagina. Like, I don't focus on respect or her having a vagina. I do want to know if she was born female. I do want to know that. But after that, I'm not worried about her having a vagina, and I'm not worried about her respecting it, because I wouldn't tolerate anything other than those. I don't even consider it. So, look, there are, yes, Tony G, this notion of people being hypnotized, and they follow the instructions that were given to them. You know, our education system is great at hypnotizing people, both men and women. And as Reggie's talking about, you know, these guys are almost like they're under a spell, that they have to do all these things and jump through hoops and throw all their money at a woman and end up being broke and then look around and there's no woman around them. And you get women on video like blatantly saying professional athletes are dumb. Those are her words, not mine. She's seen them as similarly as the woman who is a sex worker, a beta male that you can lead and you never have to have respect for them. You can tell them what to do and they'll follow you. So if you're not under that hypnosis and you actually see what's happening, you can make better choices. But the question is, for the men who do understand what's going on, at what point do we realize that it's going to be us that have to come together and create, whether it's a movement, an organization, an institution that carries out a certain mission that moves things forward in the same way the Wright brothers move things forward to create flying? You know, I mean, they invented flying, but really they just took advantage of something that was always there, the laws of aerodynamics. So there are things that are always there for us men, and one of the things that's always there around the world is men build every civilization. So why would you submit to someone who didn't build and doesn't even have the capacity to do what you can do? Any man. Reggie, I hear you wanting to come back in. What's going on?
Well, you said organizations, yeah. I mean, that you got MGTOW, you got Red Pill. I mean, you got – so there are things that are being put in place, but I – you know, like I said, you know, I don't – you know, I really can't say why it's having an impact. I just don't think it's having that much at this time. And it has grown, but like I said, most guys are just one blow job away from going back to the plantation, you know. So I mean, what do you want me to tell you? And say, I hear you talking, but you know, there it is, and you know, we have repeated that men have built everything. Matter of fact, anything. I mean, men. women, I put it to you like this. Women wouldn't even have kids anymore if we went back to a primitive civilization. So we made it so convenient. You got hospitals. You got yes, miss.
Well, when I say movement, there, I'm not sure what MGTOW, Red Pill, any of those are out to accomplish, and that's a dynamic that's missing. So what do we want to accomplish? I mean, do men understand that we, the people, can actually have new laws, new policies put in place, put on the books? I mean, it's going to require organization and money, a budget, capital to make that happen. So someone was telling me about the men's right movement and how they were not getting any traction. So they literally, that, and I don't have the facts. This is what someone told me. Men's rights, they're moving, they're getting PR. It wasn't getting traction. So what did they do? They hired a woman. They hired women to represent men's rights. So they actually hired women to do a man's job, and still that didn't get any traction. So if you understand there's a design to society, business, government, family, all of that, And to get traction and powerfully move forward, there's a design to that. And the way the men's right movement did it, they did part of it by driving PR and getting on the news and getting interviews. But the other part, if you want to move the needle, you have to pay the piper for that. And the way United States is structured is you have legislators who can put laws in place. You can't go around on the media just begging and writing articles and saying, we don't like this. You then have to come together and say, well, what are the laws that we want changed? What are the laws we want in place? What's in the best interest of society? You hire lobbyists, you create strategies, you find who those legislators are, and you have them promote your bill, your policies, on Capitol Hill or in a state with the governor, with the president, so that these new laws come into effect and old laws that are outdated and harming society, you get those laws off the books and replace them. If the men's right movement would have taken that position, I'm comfortable to say that they would have been significantly more effective. You cannot go to legislators saying, we have a men's agenda, can you help us? You go there and say, here are the laws that we want. Here they are, written by lobbyists in legalese language. And this is what needs to change. We're making a case. This is our case. It's a matter of national security. These are our concerns. And we're behind the eight ball. I mean, look at this Roe versus Wade on abortion. That's significant. Many states may end up overturning that, and that's a bigger picture. What's really behind that? What's driving that? California saying that they may be the sanctuary for women to come get abortions, but many other states, and Texas being one, has said, hey, we're not getting rid of abortion, but once you hit 6 weeks, that's it. You can't do it. And women are against that. So this Roe versus Wade is on the chopping block right now. Hey, thanks, PJ. Thank you. Hey, I want to take another caller. I'm going to take a call from area code 617. 617, you're live and on the air with Straight Talk. What's your name? Where are you calling from? or maybe you just want to listen. So 617, we are just having a what's on your mind conversation. This is a Friday night. We keep it chill. We sit back. Yeah, we like to talk about testing intimacy, but we are, no, not CJ, not CJ. So I'm just at 617, you're just checking us out. You just listening. Appreciate that. I'm going to put you back on hold. Got a little noise in the background. Hey, Reggie, you still there? You're in a quiet place?
Oh, yeah, I have been on mute up there at work. And funny thing, I'm at work. This young man just pulled up, asked me a question, and actually he's the starting quarterback for the University of Georgia. I had to recognize him, so we're having a little chat
while
I'm listening to you. But, hey, another, hey, very respectful Southern white dude, okay? I said that to make a point since I moved here to the South. If you ask me, I'll tell you. Whenever I'm breeder right or call sir or whatever, something like that, most of the time it's from white folks.
Okay.
Yeah, so, Ted, what I want to say was, again, we talked about this before about men following women, right?
Right.
Okay, so this is something I've been thinking about. A lot of these fans and these followings that men have been going by for I don't know how damn long were manufactured by females in society to control men.
Like what, for example?
Okay, this the men are natural. No, what's going on? Actually, it would be good, but it's not necessary because it's in the computer. So,
okay.
All right, have a good time. Like this provider protector, anything that's going to enslave your ass and benefit them, they came up, right? Now, why would a man, just think about this. These bitches have had equality and all of these rights for about 50 years or so, right? But they still want traditional this, whatever. A man, think about it, you would have to be a damn fool to go up there and provide and protect and sacrifice your life for something that don't even belong to you. Think about that. But men have been eating this shit up for I don't know how long. Now, even when it comes to your children and everything, nothing here really belongs to you when you with her. It all belongs to her and the government. So why would you want to legally attach yourself and be responsible, financially responsible, and work and slave yourself for something that don't belong to you? These hoes do not belong to you. Your kids do not belong to you. So this provider protector, men are natural, this and that. But then, so what about the guys that just laying up on their ass looking to be taken care of by women? They're men too. So she goes, oh, well, they're not men, they're male. Well, we all got the same biology though. So what's going on here? So along with this, you got to look at that saying, anything that's going to benefit them, I can't remember it, but I remember that provider protector thing because it just cracks me up when a guy when a man say, well, we're naturally provider protectors, this and that. Now, if women were still the property of man, women and children were still your property, then I'm going to provide and protect for it because it's mine. If I don't own it, I'm not responsible for it. Because basically what they're asking you to do is to actually be a damn slave and to be a fucking simp for a whore and her pimp, which is the state. And everybody, and they just laugh. You got to understand that they actually manufactured this shit. I ain't going to say the women, and they will try to attack you with this shit. Well, you're supposed to be a provider protector. That's not my biology. That's not a man's biology. Who says a man's biology? That's programming. Programming, okay, along with the rest of the shit that they had for you And what everything, all of this destruction has been damn fucking, has been programming. And men need to get unprogrammed from this shit. And see, you know, the shaming tactics and all of this stuff, just up there, just laugh in their face. And matter of fact, they said, well, you know, people, just think about it. If she love you, she gonna provide and protect for your ass. Love is love, right? That means she really don't love your ass, okay? Is she already telling you that? But these men, and I guess, you know, I'm gonna tell you them. Man is stupid. Man, you know, I mean, you just gotta look at, you know, all of this destruction was brought on by ourselves. You know.
Why do you say that?
Because we swallowed, you know. You got to understand that your enemy, which is a female, really, because she really needs you for survival, but at the same time, she really knows that she really can't beat you or handle you physically or maybe even mentally. Well, I don't want to say mentally. Maybe even mentally, but your biology can be used to get you because you want to fuck the bitch. Or you came out of a fucking woman. You see, they always go right back to your mama was a dang woman. Hey, have a good time. So they know where to go. So, and then you was raised by a woman. Your mother sit up there and see what you're going through with some chicks and don't fucking say nothing. Or we'll say something, but don't say nothing. Or hint or do something instead of pulling you to the side and letting them know, hey, all those women are fucking whores. We don't have the capacity to love you like y'all love us. Okay? We need you guys to slave for us.
So, Reggie, okay? This whole thing of love is...
Well, we know that.
Hold on. This idea of having to love a woman is very recent. You didn't hear men talking like that 50 years ago. Maybe not even 40. It's very recent.
Are you there? Do I have you on mute? Do I have you on mute? Oh, no, you're still there. Okay, well, not really, because... Let me see. No. They was doing this in the early 19th century, I want to say. Just like you said, the guy who wrote the romantic thing, Keats, whatever, that started there, okay? But still, men still had a biology. Napoleon Bonaparte and them guys, bitches have been starting wars for centuries. Abroads have been starting wars for centuries. So they always had this certain, power of men. You said something about even back in the Roman days, the oracles and stuff like that. You know, being a whore comes natural to them whores.
No, you brought up the book you brought up is really good. But men were not saying, oh, I need to be in love and all that. That book pushed that. That didn't really start happening until the 1850s. But even in the 1950s, men were not talking about all this romantic love the way men are now. Even in the 1950s. This is very recent.
Well, I don't know. Like I said, it could be the inflict, it could be the movies, the music. I mean, they've been making these love songs since the 40s. I mean, you got Sinatra, Vic Damone, Nat King Cole, Johnny Mathis. I mean, so you had that, you had the movies. This came from somewhere. So, that could have been, I hate to say it, this could have been in the works for a long time. That's what that was all about. If you really start to think about it, I mean, or they came out and they noticed the impact that this stuff was having. I mean, because if you go back and look at some of the, I've seen it like even when Marvin Gaye was singing, these women sitting up there just staring at them like they God. I seen Johnny Mathis gay ass and other women and Frank Sinatra, everybody just swooning. And they was like, wait a minute, look what this is doing. And then they put the movies on with the music, and they start saying, oh, look at you see what I'm saying? The powers that be, and they just found a way to just work it. Then
And you look at that. You look Marvin Gaye, the Jackson 5. Look at how women were crazy over it, like they were guys. And when did you see men going after women like that?
I just see no man trying to run up on the stage to get to Vanity Six and Apollonia and some of them women back in the day. So, yeah.
And they were attractive. Look at even, what's her name? Stormy Weather.
Lena Horne.
You know, she was called, you know, such a beautiful woman. But you didn't see people chasing after her the way women chase after men. So that tells you something about who naturally is comfortable chasing who.
About the pursuing. You know, they're gonna sit back, you know, it's your job to work. You have to be responsible, you know. And then so you get with her, you're like, well, you're the one who pursued me. You're the one who pursued, you know, I see women talking, well, you're the one who asked me to get married. Even though she accepted, she said, well, you asked me to get married. You this and that. I mean, you see how that is? It still comes down to no responsibility, no accountability, and putting everything on you. Talking about, well, a man will pursue, go after, he will do whatever it takes to get what he wants. Well, okay, well, your husband changed. Y'all done ran up all this student loan debt. You done went to school. You done this to get education. So you trying to tell me you won't do that to get the man that you want? I'm just giving you an example. You see, however it is convenient, and men have allowed this to go on for so long. Just like cancer. If you don't go cut that cancer off, it's going to spread. If you nip the shit in the bud at the beginning, things would be a lot better. You know. But again, these frauds have already gone let you know that they whores. Women, natural nature is whores. You enjoy whores, you don't love whores. You don't marry whores. You don't have kids by whores.
Reggie, but from what you're saying, it doesn't matter what women do.
Right. That is correct. You know what? That is correct. If men just did what they were supposed to do, I mean, get on your grind, build your businesses. But the whole thing about it is, you build businesses, but you got to hire them whores.
No, you don't. Listen. If every woman abandoned the United States and left, business and commerce will continue. Men will just fill in where women were. They just will. If women went on strike, everything would continue. Now, if women went on strike, everything would continue. If men went on strike, the country would shut down. And you already understand that.
Actually, that's what I want. See, you were talking about legislature and doing all that. I mean, see, men, we're different. You know, unfortunately, we don't. You know, men just don't operate that way. So
yes,
but,
they do.
Wait.
Who do you think writes most of the laws? It's men.
Right. I understand that, but what I'm trying to. But what I'm telling to you, what needs to be done is for, and I keep saying it, and you don't like it, but men need to walk.
Walk where, Reggie?
Just walk away. Go take a break. Take a week off from society.
You're not getting it. That doesn't change women's mindset.
Okay, well, let's say, I'm really not, you know, the whole thing, I don't care about their mindset. I need for men to change their mindset, to understand, to don't put them hoes on the pedestal. Stop pedestalizing pussy. Stop pedestalizing. Stop pedestalizing. Fake beauty, superficial beauty. You know, she's a made-up doll. They got fake hair on. This isn't nothing. She don't even like her. You loving somebody who really don't even love their damn self.
So
you pedestalizing something? Huh?
Hold it, Reggie. Hold it. Someone asked the question: is it possible to find a woman in a Western society who has her own mind and doesn't follow the norm? Yes, but the numbers are small. And here's the other part. A lot of those women who do exist, hey, Rich, go on, please, Rich. A lot of those women who do exist, the majority of women, the sort of the herd, the beehive mindset, they will come down on any woman who isn't going along with them. I've seen it. I've seen it on Facebook. I've seen it in public. When a woman is supporting men, I've seen women say, "What's your problem? How could you admit to men what we're doing? Why would you do that? Why would you tell men the truth?" So there are women who do take that kind of stand, and women go after them. They, you know, if it's online, they do research and find out where she lives, and they do all kinds of crazy stuff, especially if she's married. But if she's not, just think of it this way. Just look at our society. You know, men like, I mentioned Robert Goddard, the Wright brothers, Tesla, even Einstein. Men come up with these ideas that have them stand alone, and society may initially ridicule them, and then when society figures it out, they go along. Women generally don't put themselves in that kind of position. For whatever reason, I've showed you guys how women's brains function, and women make problems when there are none. So for a woman, if she's making problems where there are none, imagine where everyone's saying you're stupid, you make no sense, you know, like they did with Robert Goddard and writing an article in the New York Times about him being an idiot because he thought men could go to the moon. Women generally don't put themselves in that kind of position. They will only do that if they can find enough agreement, right? So they find others who will support their idea. So it's very much men who will have to make this happen, because women have been convinced that what they are doing is right and they are benefiting. When you ask a woman, ask any woman, how has society benefited by having so many women in the workplace? And they'll tell you, well, it's benefited women. But the question, women don't make up society. That's only really one quarter of it, because you have female adults, male adults, you have male children and female children. So that's four different parts of society, and you can't say all four have benefited, because one of the things that happened is our education system has dropped, because at one time women held the education system accountable. They were right there, PTA meetings. They were checking to make sure the school was giving their children what they wanted, what they were paying for. Because even if you pay property taxes, you're paying for your education. And if you're going to private school, even the same. So once women went into the workforce, there was no one watching the education system, no one watching the farm. So our education system has tanked, especially on a global scale. And that only just makes matters worse, because the lower the education, the lower the thinking, and you create generation after generation, and then no one knows what they're doing. So society hasn't benefited. Single parent household, it creates emotional trauma for children. That's not good. We look at the amount of mass shooting, and these are almost always, like over 90% of the time, the mass shooters come out of a single mother household. in the amount of incarceration and drug addiction, all of that. So how has society benefited? It has not. So these are things that men need to sit down with women, because sometimes women just don't see the long-term big picture. Where is this going? And when I made that video about self-mastery, that has a lot to do with men mastering themselves, so no matter what women put in front of you, if it doesn't make sense, you do not go along with it, even if it's for sex. Women will often kick and scream and say, this is horrible, I don't like it. But in the end, when they benefit, they will admit it. I mean, 2 weeks ago, I had a woman who used to live with me, and she talked to you guys about how I had rules and she hated it and was frustrated. In the end, she would tell you, you can go back and look at it, that in the end, she learned a lot. She benefited. At the time, she couldn't see it. Oh, that's a good question, PJ. Would a woman who doesn't go along with the norms come across as eccentric? I could see that, but I wouldn't guarantee that. But I could definitely see how that would happen. And maybe, yes, our minds have been filled with so much, so much of what an attractive woman is. You know, Reggie is talking about programming, but we've got to even see that even the notion of being disgusted and hating women is, that's just as much part of the programming as it is getting women to believe men are disgusting and worthless. Like, who wins by having a battle of the sexes? There's no reason for a man to hate and find disgust with a woman, in the same way you wouldn't hate and find disgust with a child who's been misdirected. So I can say women who have been misguided and are no longer overseeing the education system, the children are now paying the price for that. Children are more easily misguided by the education system because women are not overseeing it. So perhaps the real problem started as men. Did we stop overseeing women? And what happened? Did we start to actually, did we drink the Kool-Aid and believe that women were actually equal to us? And is that where the problem started? So the woman who's eccentric, may not seem attractive. I know Tony G acknowledges this. One of the things in my book is what Tony G had gotten is this art of conversation. And that's what men need to do with women, is this art of conversation, this level of discovery, so you can really understand who's in front of you. And when you speak to a woman about certain boundaries, see, a woman who does understand, you know, based on your question, PJ, who's not following the norm, she's going to understand, and most likely she grew up with both parents. So she has seen her father create boundaries for the family and do what's in the best interest of everyone, of the unit, the family unit. So she would be accustomed to seeing that. So when you talk about certain boundaries, she understands what's in the best interest of everyone. And men, you know, Reggie's bringing up a good point that men are told that, you know, it's your natural born hunters and we chase and we want to protect and provide. And even men buy into that. And when you add things like women are smarter than men, guys begin to doubt themselves, unfortunately, right? You start doubting yourself and you think, well, I can't be smarter than this woman. It affects the way you see yourself. So when you get there and there's a woman who's actually listening to you, and wanting to understand, she may seem, it may even seem like it's a trick. The Venetian flytrap, not going for it, right? Even that could seem eccentric. Yeah, good point, Tony G. Right, so there's an assertiveness that we have a natural right to as men. We have a biological right to that. And, you know, sometimes, I want to say most of the time, if you say to a woman, this doesn't work. If you're in a relationship with a woman and you say, hey, I don't like this, it's amazing how she will do it anyway, like testing to see what she can get away with. But the moment you become aggressive and say, what did I tell you? Raise your voice, you make it very clear. All of a sudden she's like, oh, I don't like you yelling at me. Why? It's like, I've told you 2 times. I've told you 3 times already that this is ineffective. It doesn't work. And when you raise your voice and you make it very clear, and she says, I don't like you talking to me this way. Well, you know, this wasn't my first choice, and I gave you 2 or 3 other choices to hear me another way, and you seem to ignore it. Now you're listening, and I don't want to repeat this again. All of a sudden, their behavior changes. So there is some aggression, anger, and it's not even that you feel angry. It's like you use anger. The first woman I was living with, I remember she bought something from this Korean store, and it broke. It didn't work. So she went back and asked for a refund, and they were like, no. So I said, let's go to the store, and we walk in together, and she asked for it. And, you know, and this was a Saturday, early afternoon, sunny day. I still remember it was a good day. We were having a good time together. We get to this store and they denied her. And so instead of me feeling angry and like a victim, I became very firm in my tone of voice to the man who owned the store who was telling her no. And I made it very clear, this is unacceptable. We walked out of the store with a full refund and an apology. And when we left, the woman with me was nervous. She was afraid because I looked furious and angry, like too aggressive. And we walked out. She was scared to say anything to me. And I said, okay, now let's go enjoy the rest of our day. And she commented and said, I didn't know how to react to you. I said, no, I used anger as a tool to get something done, and it worked. Men need to know how to do that without having this, like you can do it without your blood pressure rising. It's like you just use anger as a tool and you use it like turning on a switch whenever you need it. And it gets a woman's attention. And if she doesn't like it, walk, which sometimes you have to say you can't walk. You're going to deal with this right now. PJ, I showed an article where it said that the reason women, so men, 77% of suicides are committed by men. So men commit most suicides, except women attempt suicide 3.45 times more than men. They attempt it. And that is because their brain makes so many problems to the point, this is why women are more likely to suffer from insomnia, eating disorders, depression, anxiety. Women suffer from these things much more often than men because their brain makes up stories. Now, I don't know if this is like their brain does this because as a man, you walk down the street, you're less concerned about threats because you'll handle it if it comes. But women are more concerned about threats. So they're walking around with more fear than what a man does. So maybe this is just our survival. What the fact, and they've done this with tens of thousands of neuroimaging, almost 50,000 people. They had man and woman in the same room at the same time, hooked up to all kinds of neuroimaging. They put them in the same situation at the same exact time, and women created problems in their head when the man didn't. So just, you could say psychologically, we are not equal, not even the same. And this is biochemical also. So this affects women's ability to take risks. And it's why, you know, I was in this clubhouse last week, and I was saying to women, look, you know, this is ridiculous. You all have had more than 100 years to create a female-only Fortune 500 company. You can't even name five companies that have females only and it has 100-plus employees. You can't name them because women have not been successful in putting together businesses the way men do. Women avoid confrontation, and this is biochemical. They looked at like oxytocin and look at how testosterone and conflict. Men are much better in that. Men go towards the conflict and women will avoid it, right? So all of these, the biology is not as cut and dry. It affects the way women think. And so if women are not creating businesses the way men are, even though they have access to the money, women have billions of dollars out there that they inherited. Hell, just look at Jeff Bezos' wife, billions of dollars. And does she go out and build a Fortune 500 company? She has the money to do it. So many women claim that Jeff Bezos' wife helped him build Amazon, then she should have the capacity to build a company because she has more money than what he started with in 1994. And you do not see that. It's risky. Women don't take those risks. Their biology does not support it, and their brain function doesn't support it. So when it comes to them building some enormous company or investing in female-only companies, they don't want to take those risks. They leave it up to men. So this is part of what men need to understand, that sometimes, a lot of times, women overreact to things, and it's only because that's the way their brain is working. Women, as much as they want to deny it, they look to men for this mental stability, and our brains are much more stable and able to deal with chaos, especially if a man is raised with both parents in the home and a solid father. Hey, PJ, yep, teachers do use it, but some of those teachers can get malicious and they are actually angry and, you know, but yes. Or a judge that's saying order in a court, and it's like, I mean it now, like, you slam that gavel, and that's the end of that. Yeah, attempted suicide and a lot of chant, that is women's way of getting attention. The interesting thing, I did research on this, over 75-78% of women who attempt will attempt suicide a second time. Sometimes they are successful. But that's their way to cry out for help. When a man says, this is it, he pulls the trigger. Woman does it to get attention and to get the help and support that she wants. But she doesn't want the suicide. And we, you know, a few weeks ago, we talked about men's mental health. And I, as opposed to men sitting around and talking about how they feel about life and the things that happen, you know, I'm asserting that it would be much more effective for men to focus on self-mastery. And in dealing with self-mastery, you do have to deal with some of your, you absolutely have to deal with blind spots and some of the things that create mental barriers that are from your past. You just don't do it the way, let's say, a woman would do it with a therapist, like sitting on a couch and saying, you know, when I was three, this thing happened. even though when you were three, that is the thing that may be impeding your progress and causing you to see yourself in a way that's not productive. But there's a way to do this in a self-mastery kind of way, a samurai way, it's for lack of better words. Yeah, guys, smash that like button if you haven't. If you're new to me and just checking me out, subscribe to my channel. Hit that bell and make sure you hit all so you receive all notifications. And some of you guys may have been unsubscribed by YouTube, so make sure you're subscribed to my channel. And share this. I mean, I'm literally just, this is Friday, it's YouTube and chill, and I want to know what's on your mind. So, you know, we are, and if you have a question, we've done this before, any question you have, that's a big word, any, right? So we can talk about anything, intimacy of relationships, business, social challenges, bring it on. And if I don't have the answer, I'll tell you. If I know a little something and need to do a screen share, I'll do that. So, you know, this is what's on your mind. Let's talk. Reggie, you still there? And can you talk? Reggie's out in the back.
Oh, yeah, I'm still here. I'm still here. That noise going on.
Yeah. I hear it. Okay. So I know there are things like MGTOW and red pill and all kinds of things. But if anything is to be accomplished, there really has to be a laser-focused effort and an outcome. Like, there needs to be a measurable outcome, and I think that's what men are missing. You know, I hear all kinds of men saying men go on strike, don't do anything, and everything shuts down, and there's no electricity and no water. And what women will do is they'll placate you and say, oh, you want to have sex, you want us to be nicer to you, that's great. But that doesn't change what's actually happening until men really put their foot down on a daily basis and not have to shut everything down to get that to happen. And if there are laws on the book that's in no one's best interest, you get those laws off the books because people will use them. Like, take, for example, Warren Buffett says that the tax codes are unfair for the super wealthy. And Warren Buffett says that the way the tax codes are written, he can pay very little in taxes. Well, here's the amazing thing. The laws are in place and Warren Buffett still takes advantage of those tax codes. Even though you hear him say, oh yeah, they should change the tax code and the wealthy should pay more. Well, if he really thought the wealthy should pay more, he would just pay more instead of taking advantage of the tax codes. So he says one thing out of this side of his mouth, and on the other side, he takes advantage of the tax codes. So if you remove certain laws from the books, then people can no longer take advantage of them. And I mean that with women and the courthouses and child support and anything else. So, yeah, why are women passive? That's a really good question, because committing suicide or attempting suicide could actually backfire. You know, I would wonder how many women were really reaching out for help and they didn't get it and it just went too far. They took pills, whatever they did, and they died, and that's not what they really wanted. I mean, you hear stories of people who jump off of a place and they survive, and they tell you as they were going down, they changed their mind. They no longer wanted to die. So that's usually not the answer. I guess there are some people who really do, and they take a very aggressive stance on it. So if you look at men and testosterone, and then there's this other biochemical called vasopressin, and when you bind testosterone and vasopressin, it's like putting nitrous in your car and it's mixing with gasoline, and the explosion is much bigger, and it puts much more power into your engine when you put nitrous in it. So vasopressin mixing with testosterone has the same impact. And women just don't – women have such a small amount of vasopressin that it's irrelevant. So women don't have the biochemistry that gives them that aggression that has them go towards towards conflict. So they take a passive. They are designed to avoid conflict. So if you're designed to avoid conflict, you're going to look a lot passive. And we have things like passive aggressive. They may take shots at you in different ways, but it very much has to do with the brain function and biochemistry. And if women are more concerned about things going wrong, like just look at women and how they physically present themselves with makeup and not wanting to look bad or look stupid. It's why, you know, we hear jokes. Oh, if your wife admits she's wrong, then you're in trouble. There's going to be a problem. Because women seem to have a bigger problem with looking stupid. And that gets us back to why you don't see women forging completely new industries that will initially make you look stupid. Like the telephone. They thought that was a joke. Why would I use a telephone when I can just walk across town or the street and talk to my neighbors? I don't need a phone. That it was a joke. It was seen as a joke. There are lots of things that men have done that initially they were ridiculed for it and it would never work. But now we have them. Telephones, airplanes, understanding the how the planets move around the sun, flying to the moon. There was a time, I read this, that they believed that the maximum speed a human being could travel would be 40 miles an hour. And if a human being went beyond faster than a speed of 40, the human body would implode. It would explode. And so if you look at old cars, the top speed of old cars, like 100, let's say early 1900s, the top speed was always 40 miles an hour. They didn't think humans could travel faster than that. So imagine some idiot tried to go 45 and then 50. He must have looked crazy, like you're on a suicide mission. You're going to go 60 miles an hour, you're going to die, you're going to blow up. And now for us to get out of the Earth's gravitational pull in a rocket ship, you have to literally travel over 17,000 miles an hour. So imagine if we still had that belief that 40 miles an hour was the limit. We wouldn't have these commercial airplanes and bombers and all that stuff. Ooh. Reggie, you still there?
Yep.
Hey, what are your thoughts, man? You have any thoughts? What are your thoughts? Because I'm going to answer some questions in this question. Go ahead. What are your thoughts?
I'm still just going back to the thing that, you know, I'm just going to reiterate that all of this fall on men, and men need to just handle this, and just concentrate on yourself, build your wealth, build your health, master yourself, and, you know, really just don't pay these chicks no attention and just let them ride away. If you don't give them no attention, you don't give them any resources or anything, all they're going to do is spend I don't know what they're going to do. From what I'm looking over here, they seem to like to, these women seem to like to be around women that look like dudes. I'm here in Atlanta, and where I'm looking now, I see it all day long. So maybe it's true that women really want men to have female nature. So maybe they get with these fake-ass men that are really women, and now they got a boyfriend and a girlfriend or something. But that shows you how fucked up they are. So that's what I got to say about the situation. You there, Ted? Hello? Hello?
Yeah, Reggie, I'm there. Keep going. I got
you. Oh, yeah. I'm done. And stop allowing these frauds or society to play this mind game with you and play on your biology, your ego, your pride. And you know what? Men just need to be selfish, completely selfish. Yeah. Completely selfish.
Say that again.
Men just need to become completely selfish.
They were told that that's a bad thing to do, right?
Right. How wait a minute. How is looking out for number one ever a bad thing? Explain that to me, Ted. I'm about to explain that. The floor is yours. Explain to me how looking out for self-preservation is a selfish thing. Explain that to me, Ted. You're smart, dude. Explain that to me. Or somebody there, explain it to me.
Well, isn't there here's the other side of that. They say if you don't take care of yourself, how can you help anyone else? Don't they use the whole thing about if you're in an airplane and the oxygen mask drop, get your oxygen mask on first. Otherwise, you can't help anyone else. Even if you have your own child with you, your oxygen mask has to go first. So you have to preserve yourself first, right? Is that your point?
Absolutely. When I became a father, my own father told me, hey, I know you have a son, but you got to put yourself first to be able to take care of him. Bingo.
Right, right. Exactly. And that gets me to an interesting question. I don't think I've ever discussed this publicly. And big exclusive, what's going on? You ask a really good question about this mandatory vaccine. So if we use a segue from what Reggie's saying about taking care of yourself, you only have one body, and there's no body store where you trade in your body and get a brand new body. And only one person is responsible for your body, and that's you. There's nothing the government, your parents, your spouse, your siblings, no one can do anything to ensure the health of your own body. So ultimately, you are in charge. So if you're a person who believes the vaccine is in your best interest and it will help you, then that's a decision that you'll make to keep your body in great condition. However, if you're a person who stands for your own health and being responsible and you do not want the vaccine, I would say that that's a violation because everyone has the right to determine how they want to be healthy. And if you are, if you're a person who doesn't take care of your body and you understand the consequences, then only you are the one who has to deal with it. You just can't complain about it at all. So I'm going to do a screen share. Let's see. So on the island of Gibraltar, they've accomplished something very interesting on their island. And what they have accomplished is a 100% vaccination rate. Some of you may have already heard this. I don't remember where I saw the video. But even though Gibraltar has 100% vaccination rate, they are starting to have cases of COVID. And this site saying it was updated at 6:57 Eastern time today. So COVID-19 infections are decreasing in Gibraltar with 20 new infections reported on average each day. That's 10% of the 16% of the peak, the highest daily average reported on January 6th. So if 100% of the people have the vaccination, how is it they're still coming up with COVID cases? Like, where are they coming from? Is the question. Like, how is it possible? So, you know, the question is mandatory vaccinations. Will that solve anything? Because if Gibraltar had 100% vaccination and they still are having cases, perhaps the vaccination is an ineffective solution. So we've got a problem. If the vaccination becomes mandatory and we have cases where 100% of people have it and they're still getting it, so it hasn't solved the problem. And we don't fully understand the side effects of the vaccination. Interesting. So I personally have not taken the vaccination, and I personally have no plans to take it. I have something that this is just me talking. I have something called an immune system, and I've trained my immune system through diet and exercise. And the most important exercise I do is with my mind. So I don't see myself as a victim. I don't see myself as being afraid. I'm not walking around with fear. If I actually end up having COVID, my body will know what to do with it, and I will move on if I haven't had it already. So I'm not concerned at all. Now, I've lived a life, and I've prepared my body to take on things that don't support extraordinary health so that my body can move it out, if that makes sense to you. I would never tell anyone else what to do with their body, though. That I wouldn't do. People losing their jobs. This is that. I think we've gone too far with that. A little bit tricky. People who say they are uncomfortable working with someone who hasn't received it, and I think I could look it up, but you know, there's a high percentage of people who have received the vaccination in the United States. So that's going to leave a minority. Does that create a situation where people can actually discriminate against another person because they haven't received it? So what are we really setting up? You know, it's already crazy enough. We live in a country that has a battle of the sexes, right? So a man against woman, boy against girl, even though nature has made us to completely complement one another. And then on top of that, we have black against white and Hispanic against this. And it's like we have so much division. I don't understand the long-term intention here, because when you look at the people who were already natives here in the U.S., one of the ways that they were easily defeated is because they played the divide and conquer. They got them to fight against one another, and when they were all weakened, it was easy to conquer them all. So it's almost like that whole divide and conquer strategy has never stopped here in the U.S. We just see different faces, race, gender. Now we want to have what, I don't know, they claim there are multiple genders aside from men and women. So just another way to have us divided up. I don't know if we're being fattened up for to be a stew. This isn't logical. What's the end game here? What's going on, Miss Twist? I see you in the house, man. Thanks for joining. What's up?
Yeah, what's good, Ted? All right. I just came to see the stream.
All right. Yep.
I heard you talking about the whole, virus thing and the vaccinations and all of that and people and, like, still saying that there's cases and stuff. And, I mean, what they're basically trying to say is they're trying to say that because of these variants, like, this Omicron variant or whatever, like, that's the reason why, because the vaccines aren't effective against it. In fact, I think I read something the other day that said, like, I think it was here in the UK, 60% of the people that they're saying have that variant are vaccinated people. So it's like, it's just goofy. It's like, the people ran out to get the vaccine, and then you're going to tell them a few months later, oh, yeah, well, never mind. Those vaccines are useless, by the way, because there's a new variant that can bypass your vaccine. Oh, but don't worry, we'll probably make a vaccine for that. Of course, until another variant appears that bypasses that vaccine. Like, it's just stupid. And it's like this, like you said, and this is something like when this first started last year, I said to people, I said, there's only two ways this works out. Either every single person, like, we stay locked down for the rest of our lives and are just living in fear. Or one way or another, we're going to have to develop herd immunity. That's just how it goes. Like, there's no other way around it. Even if you, like, unless you're going to every single person to get vaccinated, you're just going to have to deal with the fact that there's going to be a certain degree of people who get sick. And, of course, some people are going to die. But if you look at, like, if there was one thing last year really did, I think it was to shine a light on how much people die in our country from things other than COVID. Because the amount they kept talking about COVID, that sounds like, how much do people die from other things? And it was ridiculous. I was like, wow, like, hundreds of thousands of people die from things every year, and you don't even notice, you know? And but all of a sudden, when they found something to make a big deal out of, they do. And the Omicron variant, from what I've understood, isn't even necessarily more dangerous than any other variant, because typically when things mutate, they tend to get weaker. So what I'm trying to understand is, like, how it is that we're going, like, if you look at Europe right now, Europe's a mess. Like, it's a little mess because of this. Germany, I mean, they've practically created already, like, a second class situation if you're not vaccinated, because they're telling people there that you can't do certain things if you're unvaccinated. Even here in the UK, it's like, there's little murmurings about vaccine passports to go to big events and stuff. Not even murmurings, that's a few times they're doing. But it's like, it's just funny because the government said, oh, we won't do vaccine passports, which I personally didn't really believe them. But, you know, even I was kind of thinking, I'm not sure if they really want to go down that route. But, you know, like, this is, it's just very interesting because what it's creating is it's creating an apartheid, basically. It's creating two different types of people. And the thing is that because it's related to people's health, it's something you can't see. So, like, all the other things you said that we've been divided based on are things that are visible. Like, for example, if you're talking about men and women, well, I can see those things, black and white, I can see those things, you know, but when it's about a virus, vaccine, unvaccinated, like, I can't walk out the door and know who's got that unless you create a system where you start to, you know, distinguish between who's who and stuff. Well, we haven't gotten to that point yet, but that seems like the next logical step. You know, because I do think in a lot of ways it is about division. So if you're going down that route, you're going to have to find a way to make the divisiveness work, like, at face value. Like, you know, because right now I can just lie to someone and say I've been vaccinated.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And
exactly.
They won't know.
Right.
Whereas I can't lie about whether or not I'm black or whether or not I'm a man. I mean, like you said, there's people who are a bit confused right now about what they are, whether they're male, female, whatever, but you get what I'm saying, like, you can't really, those kinds of things, you can't mess with as easily, but I think, I don't know, like, even in Germany, like, it's just funny how eerily similar their chancellor, who is a woman, you know, it's very funny how similar that she's sounding to another chancellor they had way back in the day. you know, it's just like, I don't know, like, Germany's goofy. Like, I don't know how they're not realizing what they're doing and how they're repeating history in a little way. I'm not going to be extreme, but, you know, they're the last ones who should be talking about mandating anything, to be honest.
Yeah, exactly. What's going on, Alex? Good to see you in the house. So are you familiar with a 1963 movie called Omicron?
No. Okay. All
right. So they actually, I didn't watch the movie. It was an Italian movie. It had subtitles. I did not watch it, but I have it in one of my, what do you call it? I was planning to watch it. Damn. And YouTube has taken it down every single time. The movie is no longer available. It's taken, this is mind-boggling. Wow.
They knew you were coming. That's why they knew you were coming. They was just like, get it before this.
The Omicron variant is dominating.
Let's see.
The headlines right now. And in tonight's fact.
All right. This is a news report. Let's see. Let's see what they say about this.
The Omicron variant is dominating the headlines right now. And in tonight's Fact or Fiction, we're looking into claims an Omicron movie was made all the way back in the 1960s. And it's true, but not at all significant. In 1963, an Italian film called Omicron was released. It was a satirical sci-fi movie about an alien who takes over the body of an Earthman. As for the name, Omicron is simply the letter of the Greek alphabet, and it's been used in many film and literary titles. Now, there is also another movie poster that's being sent around showing a film called The Omicron Variant, but that one is a fake. The image is just a doctored version of this real poster of a 1974 movie that translates into English as Events in Phase 4.
So interesting. In 1963, there was a movie made. And I can't believe that it's gone now, because last week when I pulled it up, I started playing it. I was actually able to see the beginning. And I said, oh, I'll watch it later. And now it's unavailable. That's really wild. So if anyone wants to see it, it's just called Omicron, and it was created in 1963. It's Italian, English subtitles. Some may say 64, but yeah. So that's very odd. They don't want it to be shown anymore. I don't know how they justify that. So this is a divide and conquer. There are people who are walking around in fear. And there's something called chaos theory. And chaos theory is based on being able to create chaos. And when you create chaos, you have people running around sort of with their heads, you know, like chickens with their heads cut off, that they never see the real trick that you're doing. In some ways, women sort of innately do this with men when they don't want to deal with something and they yell and shout or cry or they do, you know, all kinds of things. They create chaos as a diversion. And you never actually get to the thing you want. So I'm just wondering if this whole, the virus is sort of like that, you know, not even the vaccination. The vaccination is just, you know, chaos part two or 1A. And is there something else? And I don't want to sound like a conspiracy theorist, but what is it that we don't see that's happening? You know, I lived in Washington, D.C. for 14 years. And one of the things that I noticed is when they were passing laws on Capitol Hill that most people would not have liked, they created some chaos. You had O.J. Simpson trial, Clarence Thomas. You had, and I watched the correlation. Every time one of these things happened, like O.J. Simpson was on every single channel for hours. So the news was skipped over. And my clients were lobbyists, and I saw bills that were being passed in healthcare and technology. Healthcare, crime bill. Like, all of these things were happening, except no one was watching Capitol Hill. They were watching TV and O.J. Simpson, and everyone was talking about it. So you haven't heard me talk about the vaccine, and that's part of it. That's a major part of it, because I just haven't engaged in it because I'm wondering what else is really happening. So I understand it's a diversion for something. And so someone asked the question, what's a masculine way of handling this? And I answered it partly just now by saying, never get caught up in the diversion. Keep your eyes wide open for what's happening around you.
I mean, whatever decision you made in terms of getting vaccinated or unvaccinated, just basically be stoic about it, because, you know, don't let people throw you off center about your decision. That's really what all you can do, because you can't, well, what else are you going to do? Go back and forth and be for people? Like, that's the entire purpose of what the division is. And it's like, there's no purpose engaging in that. Like, you know, if I had people close to me trying to tell me, well, you know, you didn't get that vaccine, you don't care about nobody, you know what I'd honestly do? I just distance myself from them. That's just honestly what I do, even if they're family or friends. Like, that's what I do, because, I mean, I do that anyway. If I'm dealing with people who are unreasonable, I'm just going to remove myself from them. You know what I mean? Because that's all you can do. I can't force them to go away. I can't. You know, and I'm not going to do something to harm them or whatever, like, right. It's unnecessary. Yeah. So I'm just going to remove myself from the environment. Now, if for some reason that's difficult or whatever, then I don't know, you need to figure out a way to basically achieve that. Like, I'm not saying I'm not saying that the biggest reason this is your specific situation, but just, for example, if you were living with a family member and you were kind of like, you felt like, well, I can't just leave or whatever, then you just have to figure out a way. You have to get somebody together and get out. Like, it's the same thing. It's just, to me, if people are going to create some division over the vaccine, like, right now, I just don't care. I don't really care what someone's opinion is on it, and I don't really care if they dislike the fact I'm unvaccinated. Like, most of the people I've met, though, don't seem to be very pro-vaccine. That's just the people I've met so far. But going off of the numbers they keep telling us, they keep saying 80% of people vaccinated here, so clearly I'm missing something. Clearly, I'm just not bumping into the 80%, because, you know, I don't know. Like, I've seen people who are vaccinated, or they say they are, but I don't know. I'm meeting a lot of the 20% must be in London then, because I keep not vaccinated. So, I don't know. But I would just say, whatever you do, just be centered in it and be confident in it, and don't feel like, you know, anyone should throw you off center about your choice.
Right. Yep, great words, right? So, you know, that's why I started it off saying you get one body and you're responsible for taking care of it. And whatever choices you make to take care of your body, it's your choice, and no one has anything to do with that. So I personally have not been vaccinated, and I would never make that suggestion for anyone else, because the way I've chosen to take care of my body may be very different than most people. So there's no way I could expect someone to make the same decisions I've made. But as you said, just stand by it. So if you make that choice, make the choice and stand by it. And you were saying, and someone was asking, what if your family members? This is just something I wouldn't argue about. You know, it comes down to I've made a decision for my body and what's in the best interest. And people will honor that. And I know, so here's the other problem with it is I've heard people say, well, you might say it's your body and your choice. And what if you get someone else sick? I would ask them, are you suggesting that you no longer want to be around me? I mean, that's fortunate that some situations may actually come to that if you're living together with family members. I mean,
well, the simple answer, I would just say to them, well, why don't you get vaccinated then? That's it.
But they're vaccinated, right? And they still, that people who have been vaccinated are still worried about getting it from someone.
But that doesn't make any sense. Like, if you're, the thing is that the original variant of COVID, the vaccine is supposed to be effective towards that because that's what it was designed for, right? So if you've gotten that, and then you'll say, well, I'm still worried that I'm going to get it. Well, that's just on you then. Like, people can't cater towards the fact that you went and did something and you're still scared. You might as well just not go outside then. Just stay indoors and get back, order your food in, work from home if you can. Like, that's not anyone else's problem. You know, now, if you're talking about the next thing that is talking about Omicron, well, no one can do anything about that because even if we all got vaccinated, like I said, according to their own data, all the people who were getting it are vaccinated anyway. So either right away, whether right, like you get vaccinated at this point or you don't, if someone else gets sick, it's not actually really your problem. It's really theirs because either they didn't get the vaccine in the first place, which is on them, like then how can they say anything to you about getting the vaccine, or they did, and they called it Omicron variant, which that's totally your fault because even if you were vaccinated, it wouldn't work. So it doesn't matter at this point whether you've ever vaccinated or not. Like, if someone doesn't want to get sick, they have to take their health into their own hands. It's like, there's been so many things, like flu, that have killed people over the years and things of that nature. You know what I mean? Like, at the end of the day, there's a whole bunch of things people pass around. And it's just one of those things where we got to just be understanding the fact that we live in a world of other people. You can't control what someone else does. I mean, you can try, but you got to expect the fact that they may resist you or they may oppose you. So if someone's going to try and tell me that I have to be vaccinated because I don't care about others or because I'm not being considerate to others, but the same token, I can say, well, you're not being considerate to my right and my ability to decide that I don't want to have some, you know, some untested vaccine put into my body. You know what I'm saying? Like, I have the right to be able to say I don't want to do that. You know, and if you can't respect that because you've got some fears about your own circumstances, that's your own problem. Like, that's your own issue. You know, like, I think people, because I can see what the media is doing, like, I can see that, you know, it's a guilt trip. And this is the thing that's so annoying is that a lot of the things in society right now that seem to be kind of, like, dangerous in some ways. I don't want to say dangerous, but the things that seem to be at risk of removing our freedoms the most, all of these things are being sold to you like they're the moral option. You know, like, all of the feminism, all of the, like, you know, all of these other agendas, they all have a moral high ground attached to them so that if you counter it, you look like a bad person. Because everyone who's in school now, you know, and I can definitely attest to this because I'm younger, like, in the education system now in the West, you're being conditioned to believe that if you don't buy into these ideas, there's something wrong with you or you're not a good person. Now, maybe your teacher won't necessarily sit there and say that's your faith, but it is heavily being implied that if you do not agree with these things, you're bad. And no one wants to be bad. And if you're a kid especially, you don't want to be a bad person. You don't want to be on the outside. You want to be on the in. And if what's cool and hip now is all of these agendas, then that's what you're going to buy into. This vaccine and all this kind of stuff is just part of that. It's just, yeah, another thing to tack on to just be like, well, you know, you're not a good person because you don't care about such and such. The same way how they'll say that about it, so you don't want women to be feminist, or you're a bad person and you're a toxic man. You know, it's always a moral thing. You know, it's never treated like it's just a difference of opinion. It has to be your evil. And that is where it becomes, like, kind of dangerous, you know?
Yeah, it's very dangerous. So even just think, you know, what you're saying, if in school they could ask, so you think women shouldn't be in the workplace? Well, no, I didn't say that. Great, so women should have the jobs. But then no one asks the question, well, what happens if we give all the jobs to women? What do we do with the men? And since women don't want to marry unemployed men, what's going to happen to men? Because if you give all the jobs to men, men will marry unemployed women, and they won't think twice about it. They'll take her out on dates. They'll marry her. They'll pay for everything, and she'll be a stay-at-home mom. The children will be well-educated. They'll be well-cared for, well-fed. But if you give all the jobs to women, then you just discard men. Like, what kind of society is that? So I guess if you ask that question in school, it doesn't make sense. And even for when I was young, I remember they would say, well, men are lazy and women don't want, they're better off being by themselves without a man because they don't want to have to cook and clean up after a man and do all those things. So then I was thinking, so you get rid of the man and you still have the children and you still have to cook and clean and clean up after your children. So what did you win? Like, well, I don't get it. And I had this conversation with a woman last week. I was like, what's the difference between doing those things for your children and your husband? And she had no real answer for that. But what men are taught to not ask those questions, to your point, like it's guilt. Like, so you must hate women for you to ask these questions. And that, at least here in the States, that's really the direction women, once a woman's cornered and you ask enough questions and she starts to see the flaws in her illogical statements, she's just left with, well, you must hate women.
Yep, it's a completely, I remember when I used to study philosophy and I remember there was this whole school of thought called emotivism. I remember like the first time I heard about it, and bear in mind this is when I was like 15 or whatever, but when I heard about it, I was like, oh my gosh, like this fits so much people. This explains what I've been seeing but I couldn't understand, which is like, you know, it's just emotional statements, emotional logic. I remember like there would be times when we'd have to pick out statements and decide, is this an emotional statement or not? There was a good amount of girls in my class. And, you know, it was funny because a lot of the statements they had to pick out, as you can imagine, you know, I'd look at one, I'd say, this is an emotive statement. And, you know, I'd have a gang of girls in the class be like, no, it isn't. So you're having to break it down. You know, like, so it'd be something like what you just said. That wouldn't be the statement, like, you must hate women, but I'll just use that as an example because I can't actually remember any example. So let's just use that as an example. Let's say one of the lines was, you must hate women, right? I would have read that. I would have said, that's an emotive statement, you know, based on the context. That's an emotional statement. And those girls would have been like, no, you know, that's a fact. and the thing is that at that age, I didn't know, like, a lot of the stuff I know now. So I'm kind of sitting there and I'm going back and forth with them, but I don't really understand why I'm having to go back and forth with them. Because at this time, I don't understand the nature of the past, like in the way I do now. So I'm thinking, why are they trying to disagree with me about something that's so blatantly obvious? Like, I'm thinking, like, are they just dumb? Or because I'm not understanding that women gaslight and manipulate and are intellectually dishonest just so that they can push their own narrative. I didn't understand that then. Like, I just thought, like, what are they doing? Like, why are they, like, do they just not get it? Or, like, I was making it more innocent than it was. They genuinely just didn't understand. You know, but the truth is, and maybe some of them didn't, but I think that a lot of them did understand it. You know, the statement may be emotive, but they didn't, but that probably triggered some cognitive dissonance for them because that's how they think. And they probably didn't like the idea that the way they think was being classified as emotional, you know what I mean, rather than logical. So right, they would say, no, like, that is a logical statement. You know what I mean? So it's just funny, like, things like that is just, yeah, it's funny. Because like I said, that emotionality, though, it has that morality attached to it. And that's why, like, it makes me dangerous. Because when people get emotional and they believe that they're righteous, you know, some type of moral cause, that's how you get things like crusades. You know, like, because people believe they're doing the work of God. And I mean, it's exactly. Very difficult when someone's been indoctrinated into that for a long time to tell them that they're wrong. You know, so, but if you look at it today, those same people who follow those same faiths, they'll look back at that history and say, oh, that was wrong. We shouldn't have, you know, the people who did that, they were misguided. Well, they didn't think they were misguided back then. And I always think that about today. Like, in 100 or 200 years, I don't know what society will look like, but something tells me that history is not going to be on the sides of all of this progressivism. Like, something tells me history will not be kind to it. And just like how we look back and we're like, oh, how did people make all these dumb choices? And it's going to be the same thing. Like, people are going to be like, this is why we're dealing with all this nonsense now in 2220. Like, because 200 years ago, people didn't think about things properly. You know, that's how that I always think about it. But,
the burning of witches in over there in Europe, right?
Yeah. Witch hunts.
Right, that was a perfect example. They come into your house and grab your daughter, your wife, your sister, and you could say nothing. They tie her up and light her on fire. She was a witch.
Yeah, but they bunk them in water, and then they say if she's a witch, if she drowns, she's a witch, and if she doesn't, she's so dumb.
Right.
And the thing is that, so this is the thing that's messed up, like, because that to me is that's wrong. The thing is women will take something like that and extrapolate it across all of history and say, see, that's why men are trash, because, you know, like, probably forgetting the fact that there was probably a man in that house that was, you know, I mean, maybe not, I don't know, I wasn't there, but I would think that a lot of the men of the time probably didn't agree with it either, you know, but there's a certain percentage, there's a small, like, you know, back in those times, the people who ruled things, they determined what you would kind of deal with. This is why, like, it was so important. If you had a ruler who was benevolent or a ruler who was a tyrant, it completely changed the tone of how things were in your society. You know what I mean? Because of this one person. Like, that's how you could have it, where you've got one king and people love them and they're having prosperity and then another king and then everyone hates them. And I feel like people think that it's exactly the same way today, but it kind of... I don't know, like, it kind of isn't, because of the fact that there's too many different forces that affect society now, rather than one person, like, dictating, at least in Western civilization. But
there's something to add to that. So whether it's Europe a few hundred years ago, or we can go to Greece, you know, thousands of years ago, those kings, while they may have had authoritarian rule, do you know who their advisors were?
Yeah, I know that oftentimes. Well, I mean, I guess it could be women, but, you know, it depends, really. Sometimes they could have a council or something, but, yeah.
You're familiar with the oracles, right?
Oh, yeah, Oracle Delphi and stuff, yeah.
So if we go back to ancient Greece, the most valued person in their society, they were women. They were oracles. And not everyone had access to them. So the kings, and I assume, you know, if you were high enough on the socioeconomic scale for business or politicians, you had the right to engage the oracles and ask for advice. So was it really that men were oppressing women, or the oracle said, if you don't contain your women, you're going to have problems?
Well, I mean, I don't think those oracles were saying anything that they wanted, because I think that they were probably being told what to say. But either way, I think that I'm not even sure why, I don't know enough about their culture to even know why they had oracles to begin with. I would imagine, though, maybe, like, the very early, you know, iterations of that was more pure, but I would imagine over time, like with anything, it got corrupted, you know, because I don't think men would have grown up wanting to be told by any one person, like, or especially a woman, what they should and shouldn't be doing. I mean, they would have been foolish to not try and take control of that and just make her stay wherever they want, and I think that's more than likely what they probably did do. Because at the end of the day, like, they would just use her as a face. But they didn't need an oracle. Like, back in those times, they knew what was and what it wasn't. But I think that outside of that, though, oracles aside, like, if you just look at queens, I mean, queens have been in civilizations that are patriarchal, and they didn't at any point say, it's time to bring in some feminism. You know, like, I mean, Queen Victoria, when she was here in Britain, she didn't say, it's time to bring in some feminism. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, that wasn't what she was on. So, I don't know, even Queen Elizabeth didn't do that. I mean, I don't know, it's not something that they do, even if they're in those positions of power. Like, to be honest, I don't know, like, I don't really know where the feminist thing entirely sparked from. I know there's a lot of middle-class women or whatever in the early 1900s, but I don't really understand, like, what it was that made men think, yeah, we got to give them what they're asking for. Like, I always think it's just because they helped out in the World War and they just felt like they had to give them something for that. But I don't know, like, really what else there was to it. Because the thing is, and I've always said this, feminism existed through, like, the 1950s, right? And in the 1950s, you have the nuclear family, like, become, like, and, like, in terms of, like, being part of propaganda. And so if in the 1950s you could have the nuclear family as part of the ideal image that was sold to everyone, then clearly feminism didn't stop them from doing that. But I think what the problem is that it was in decades following when you got things like birth control. I think that really is what it was. Because I think even today, if women felt like, well, if I have a baby with my someone, I could die, I don't think any amount of feminism is going to stop them from, sure, some women might not care, but that in and of itself is going to make people think twice about doing certain things. You know, like, because you know there's a danger. Your life could literally be lost if it's not even necessary that their life would be lost, because by that point, you know, we've got certain medical advances. But I'm just saying that I think the birth control thing is a big part of the reason why feminism and all that stuff has gone in the direction it's gone now. Like, if it wasn't there, I don't know if it would be exactly the same. But I think it's just partially the pendulum swinging. Like, men have, you know, because we've been in the world, I think because men have been in the position they've been in for as long as they have, and there's never been a matriarchal society, I think it's just the human nature that for women, they're going to be like, well, it's our turn now, even though they clearly aren't making any of these societies in the way men do. But I don't think they're supposed to, because they're not us. I think the way they're doing it now is exactly the way they would do it. They would use subterfuge and manipulation and try and, like, basically get us to make the society for them. And, like, that to me is exactly what they would do. And I think we view it like, why don't they do what we do? But that's because they're not us. And they're never going to do it the way men do it. They're going to do it the way women do it. And that is, we're going to tear down what you've got from the inside, and we're going to manipulate the situation so that you do what we want you to do. So we're going to make you be emasculated and make you bend the knee, and you'll build the society that we want, and we'll just reap the rewards of it. That's exactly what, to me anyway, that's what I would imagine they do.
Well, have you ever heard women say, if women ruled everything, there'd be no wars at all? Have you ever heard that, something like that?
Yeah, which is this thing disproven, but yeah.
Well, you know that it's been disproven.
Yeah, because it's been shown already that, like, I mean, when you would have, for example, like, a queen instead of a king, they'd be a lot more likely to go to war. So
exactly. In the magazine called The Economist in June of 2017, they wrote an article about it. And one of the things from the article, it says they studied how often European rulers went to war between 1480 and 1913. Over 193 reigns, they found that states ruled by queens were 27% more likely to wage war than those ruled by kings. So that's a lie when they tell us that if they ruled everything, there'd be no wars, because history says otherwise. And for us to have to go through that again just to you know, it's a pattern recognition. The pattern is there.
It also correlates with the domestic violence numbers as well that happened today.
I was going to go to that.
Okay.
Yes. No, you're right with me. Here's the deal. When you look at homosexual men in a relationship, 26% of those relationships have domestic violence. When you look at straight men by their partner, 29%, 35% straight women, you know, for their partner from a man. And when it's two women together, do you know what the number is? What percentage of those have domestic violence?
Is it like 40-something?
Exactly, 44%. So when you put two women together and no men to create a problem, they can't stop fighting.
it's funny, though, because, like, you know, sometimes I'm just curious what happens in those relationships for it even, like, you know, like, because I thought about it, and it kind of, it makes a lot of sense, because if you think about it, right, women don't ever have to face each other, like, genuinely, for the most part, you know what I mean? Like, so, like, if they're in a group with each other as friends, they always can kind of do this putting on airs thing where they're not really being real with each other. Like, you know, with a lot of guys, we'll just be honest about things and we can speak very plainly. But girls can't do that. Like, I remember last girl's in a relationship with, she used to hate this. And it meant that she didn't have many friends at all, like many female friends. I mean, she didn't have any guy friends, but she had, you know, she had a couple of female friends. But even with the couple of friends she had, even just one-on-one, she would find this difficulty with being able to just speak plainly with them, because if she did, there was always this fear of it's gonna, you know, trigger some situation and she's gonna get pissed off. Now, I would imagine that when you're in a relationship with someone where you can't really necessarily always do that, it's gonna be worse. And the thing is that because they're both women, it's like there's no real barrier to one hitting the other. Now, you could say the same thing with men, but like I said, men tend to speak plainly, even if they're going to be gay. I mean, to be honest, if anything, based on what I'm seeing in the media, a lot of these gay men speak sometimes even more plainly because they can get away with saying certain shit. So, I mean, like, there's no reason for them to hold back. And I think with women, I think that there's like, I don't know if what I'm saying fully makes sense, but I think that they're basically not able to communicate as effectively as what I'm trying to say. And we all know how they're emotional and whatever. Because even when they're with men, they tend to initiate the domestic violence against them as well. You know what I'm saying? So it's the exact, I think they just have a lack of impulse control because they're so emotional. But if you've got two people like that and they can't be fake, because when they're in groups, because you could say, well, why do they beat each other up when they're in groups? And they don't tend to, like, groups of girls as friends don't tend to get into fights as much as, like, guys can probably get into fights with other guys, like, in a general social setting. So that's why I'm saying, you know, if you were to tell a woman that, she'd probably bring that up. She'd be like, well, girls don't fight each other as much as guys do, so I don't believe those statistics. But that's because in society, I think, it's almost like they know they'll fuck each other up, so they've got to be fake. You know, so they say all the time, they know they've got to be fake. That's why you've got however many of those high school movies and stuff, like, with that being, you know, the way how their dynamic is, because they know that's just what it is. Whereas with guys, they're not really like that.
Well,
so
they say that there's a biochemical in males that causes several things. So they took 3-year-old boys and they wanted to see what kind of bedtime stories do you want to hear? And there's this biochemical called vasopressin. It's what I was talking about when it binds with testosterone. It makes you more aggressive. But they say that's what drives 3-year-old boys to want bedtime stories that's about action, adventure, could even be military killing. What they want, action and adventure. Women have less vasopressin. So women want to hear the fairy tale, the happy ending, the prince and the princess. They want want a story with a happy ending. So fast forward, 10-year-old boys are 20 times more likely to fight than 10-year-old girls. And here's what they observed. The 10-year-old boys will slug it out. They're going to fight. And then come lunch, let's say they fight in the morning at school. At lunchtime, those 10-year-old boys are sitting at the same table with other boys, and they're all laughing and joking. The girls, on the other hand, they don't slug it out. What they do is they have a battle of words, and they tear each other apart with very nasty words. I think they made a movie called Mean Girls. I never saw it, but it's that they become mean girls. And when lunchtime comes, the two girls that had exchange of nasty words, they can't sit at the same table. But the girl who won the argument battle is now bullying the girl who lost. And not only is she bullying her, she gets other females to join in and bully her too. So those girls are never going to speak again because this whole thing of, hurting one another's feelings. Now, here's the interesting thing to add to that. They found when girls develop too much vasopressin while still in their mother's womb, when those girls come out, when they're three years old, they are like the three-year-old boy. They want to hear the adventure story, bedtime story. They don't want the princess and the happy ending. Not interested. However, those girls are not 20 times more likely to fight than girls with, much less vasopressin. But those women who have too much vasopressin, the other thing that happens, those are typically your drug addicts, your alcoholics, your prostitutes, your criminals. It's like those women never fit in and don't function well in society. So they're not like boys, even though they have some attributes like wanting action, but they're not as confrontational as like boys can just fight. And I think those same girls with too much vasopressin, instead of fighting, they do just like girls do. They use a battle of the words and put one another down. But they probably just go a little bit more aggressive and crazy, and that's why they end up the prostitutes and the drug addicts. So there are some real differences between men and women, boys and girls, and it affects the decisions that we make. So I can see what you're saying. A woman may feel more comfortable with a man because he's going to say it like it is. And guys, we could actually engage in a battle and still go have a beer with one another, or we can engage in strong words. And we know that there are boundaries. Like once I get in this guy's face, I know I open a door for a fist fight. So we are smart because we understand that there are consequences. And girls just, they demean one another with words, and there are no boundaries for that. And that I guess that's why you'll see at lunchtime they get other girls to join in and bully her. We don't do that as males.
Well, that's the thing. I think they have the boundaries. It's just before that point. Like, I think that because girls really don't want to get into it with other girls. I think as guys will... You might not want to fight, but I think we're more willing to just accept it for what it is.
Right.
But girls,
right.
Like, they really don't want to have to engage with each other on that type of level. And I think, as she was talking about it, I was actually thinking that it could possibly be because they don't do that. Because they don't let it out in that type of way, I think it makes it worse. Now, I don't know if they ever, I don't know, maybe they're not supposed to do that, I don't know. But I'm not really sure if it's like what it is, but it does seem to be mostly universal. Like, it's little that it's rare. Like, you see, the theme of brotherhood in media and even in real life with guys, see it all the time. Sisterhood? it seems a little bit more like a fantasy. You know, it, like, I'm not saying it doesn't exist, but it's a lot rarer. You know, it's a lot more rare than Brotherhood for sure. At least from what I've seen. Like, I think that that concept of those is having a sisterly bond. So I'm not talking, even with brother and sister, but I mean, like, just amongst friends. I don't think that's very common. Even when you look at social media and you see the ways in which they take pictures as a group, it's like they're all posing and just part of, I don't know, like they're a cog in a machine. Like, I don't know, like they're not, it's like they're just, they're part of the hype. Like, it's not really, they got to do the exact same pose at the same face, and it's like, if anyone doesn't do what they're supposed to do, it's like, you're not, you know, like you said, you got those girls who kind of don't do it and they fit in, and they just find it difficult. I think that's exactly like how the girl who I used to be with, I think that's how she was with my ex. She just basically thinks she struggled to fit in with other girls a lot, which in some ways was beneficial to our relationship, but it was kind of sad, because I didn't really know what to, like, how to, you know, as a guy, you're always trying to think of the solution, and I couldn't really fix that for her. Like, I couldn't do anything, because I can't change how women are, like, but it's funny, because, I tell her, like, well, this is, you know, because of how women are, and what they do by nature, like, this is what you've got to deal with, because, you know, something that was important, and I'll just say this quickly, like, when she would point out certain things to me about how women behave, like, for example, when she'd be at work and she'd say, these girls are being passive-aggressive and they're being bitches, right? I'd know what she's talking about, and I'd believe her. But it's funny, because there's guys that would, like, I've heard guys talk about their woman saying things like that, and they think that she's just overreacting. And I'm thinking, well, see, like, that's why, you know, women are going to sit there and think that you don't get them or whatever, because it's like, they're not, look, maybe in some cases they're a bit extra, I don't know. I guess you just have to know the woman you're with and know whether or not she's the type of person to just be dramatic or not. But the girl I was with, like, I know she wasn't like that. So I could tell from the type of people who she was describing and how she was describing the situation. I'm like, yeah, I can tell that these people probably are being a bit weird with you. I get it. You know, and I think what I'm trying to say is that sometimes women intuitively understand those things a bit better because they have to. They don't get to be able to just punch it out the way we do and not have to think about that. They have to kind of think about, does this person fuck with me or not? Because for them, that's a big deal. Like, if there's a girl who doesn't like me, like you said, that might be a problem down the road where you're going to get socially ostracized. You know, and so they have to pay attention to a lot more than we have to, because if a guy's got an issue with you, chances are you're going to find out in a very clear way at some point, and it probably won't take very long.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if a guy don't like you, we're probably going to know real quick. Like, you know, you go to places like clubs or whatever, and a guy doesn't like you, you're going to know about it within a few seconds. It's not going to be some played out, you know, manipulation game and whatever. You know what I mean? I mean, there's some dudes that might do that, but for the most part, no.
Well, what in the journals where I can't even, some paper I read, in the studies they did, they said women are not, they don't handle conflict. They avoid conflict. And they were really laying this out as from a biochemical perspective, like certain biochemicals do not support conflict. And men will actually go towards conflict. They did a prison experiment back in the 1970s. I assume you've heard of it before.
I'm not sure. What was it called?
They actually did a movie on it that's like from 2000-something. I think it's called The Experiment. What they did is they, I don't remember if it was Stanford University.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
They took guys and they, none of these guys were inmates or prisoners. They were just regular guys. I don't know what the criteria was, but let's say they took 100 men, and out of the 100, they took 30 guys and made them the prison guards, and the other 70, they played the role as prisoner, and they put them in a real prison, and they simulated prison. And the experiment was supposed to go X amount of time, and it collapsed. Before that time came. because it got out of control. Like the guards,
abusing power.
Yeah, they abused their power. It was out of control. Lots of confrontation. It became like a real prison. It maybe even worse than what a prison would have been, but it was out of control. So they did the same experiment with women, and it collapsed immediately. It was like the women. So here's the deal with the men. The men who were prisoners, and even the guards cooperated with one another, and the men who were prisoners figured out ways to cooperate with one another. So there was cooperation, and even some of the inmates could cooperate with guards, and then the power was abused. With the women, they could not cooperate. It just shut down immediately. It could not come together. And they were talking about how, like oxytocin, that women have so much oxytocin that it's not designed to deal with confrontation and conflict. It doesn't support it. And men have biochemicals that can support moving towards conflict, and they're able to still bond even in the face of conflict. So this is, and maybe this answers why men can go into a new industry where there's confusion and conflict, and you know, we haven't done this before, and we're not sure how to get it done, and we might yell at each other, we might fight, but then at the end, we still come together to focus on the mission. Or even in the military, in battles, you know, we can come together. You're fighting side by side with someone you don't like, what you can collaborate for a bigger purpose. Women don't, their biochemistry does not allow for that. And so someone asked a good question. How does females not wanting conflict work with female bosses? I worked with a female boss that constantly put down her male subordinate. Isn't that provoking conflict? So one of the things that they found is that women in management were really good at creating a good team environment, like that camaraderie. They were good at that. But where women failed compared to men was dealing with problems and conflict. Oftentimes when people are not good at dealing with conflict, they actually create conflict to sort of hide the fact that they can't deal with conflict, which is, you know, crazy. And you actually see this in intimate relationships. So if a woman is not getting, let's say, attention that she wants from a man, instead of her taking actions to create a stronger bond and provide attention and affection so she gets it back, she starts arguing with the guy because she's not happy that she's not getting attention. So she ends up creating conflict, which moves the guy further away when in reality she wants affection and attention. You just haven't figured out a way to get what they want. They actually end up creating conflict when it's not what they want. So it just makes a bigger mess and more avoidance for them. These are things men need to understand so that they're not thrown off by women. And it's where men have to put boundaries in place. Because if we look at the 10-year-old girls who are fighting in school, on one hand, you say, yes, they have boundaries. They don't fist fight. They don't want that kind of confrontation, even though you see more girls fighting now. And I would wonder if those girls have a higher levels of vasopressin. It would be interesting to do studies on that for women who are more likely to fight now. And because those biochemicals could be altered from even food and water. There are lots of things that can alter them. Stress, trauma, lots of things. So, but women who engage in verbal battles, they really don't have boundaries with verbal battles. And they're generally not going to look to have a confrontational fist fight. but they can have a verbal battle without boundaries. They'll say anything. Think nothing of it. So it's, and this is why I talk about men and self-mastery. One of the advantages of mastering yourself, it becomes extremely difficult for someone to trigger you and push buttons. And it doesn't mean, it's not about being stoic and suppressing what you think of the person and what they're saying. Their words kind of don't have anything, the words, there's nothing in you for their words to attach themselves to create the actual trigger. Like, it's a word. If Myth Twist, if I were to say, you're a dumb guy, you might even laugh about that, right? I mean, is that fair to say you would just kind of laugh at that?
I might cry as a bit, you said. I'd probably laugh about it, but I think it depends on me saying it. If it's someone I really respected, you said that, I'm not gonna lie, I might feel it a bit more, because it's like, damn man, like, you want that person, especially if you think they're intelligent, then it's kind of like, well, I know I'm not dumb. Like, it's gonna make me disappointed, because I'm gonna feel like, why can't they see?
I get that. But the average guy saying that to you, are you going to think that?
Yeah, I'm gonna laugh. I mean, like this girl that date where they'll say, you don't understand women, and you know, I laugh.
right. So what I'm getting at is, and I get what you're saying, right. So it, you know, let's say your father. And your father's really intelligent, and he's like, God, son, you know, I can't, I'm so disappointed in you that you're my, you know, that, you know, says something. I don't think you're very smart. You don't reflect me, blah, 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 right? So you may have one reaction to that. But if it's just an average guy saying that to you, oh, man, you're not very smart. You think you're smart. You know, people say, oh, you think you're so smart. You didn't know the answer to this. You didn't. So there's no trigger for you. And that's not a suppression. It's like you laugh, and it's not laughing to hide the pain kind of thing. It's just a joke, right?
And it's a matter of values, basically. It's just that I value my opinion higher than that person. So to me, their opinion is locked because it's so far off the mark. It's ridiculous. You're saying self-mastery. That's you knowing yourself.
Exactly.
If I know myself, the thing is, that person doesn't know me. This is why I'm saying, like, it depends on who's saying it, because a person who knows you, it's going to hurt more if they say something like that and they actually know your history, because then it's like they're basing off of knowing that. Whereas if some random person saying it to me, I'm like, you don't know shit about my life. So obviously, you're just talking about, because maybe I did do something kind of dumb for a moment.
Right,
but even
right.
if I didn't, you don't know me enough to know what you're talking about. Like, you have no idea what I know or what I do. And truth be told, the vast majority of people I meet in my life could never guess what kind of person I am or faith I am. So if someone said that to me, I'm going to laugh, because all it tells me is that they're small-minded and dumb. And they're probably a basic person who, truth be told, probably doesn't think very much about anything. Like, I value my opinion a lot higher than theirs. Because by even stating that, they just demonstrate to me that they're not worthy of me even caring about what they've got to say. I think, you know, I know it's an overstated quote, but the whole thing about a lion does not concern themselves with the opinions of sheep, that's basically what it is. Like, you right. just don't care about what these, you know, certain people have to say on things, because you know their opinions are mostly inconsequential to your life. You know, it's like, who cares what they think? I don't know, like, I've definitely gotten to that point, though. It's very liberating. Like, it's such a healthy headspace, because I really genuinely don't care what most people think about anything, because I know most of them don't have self-mastery. They don't know themselves. How are you going to tell me who I am when you don't even know who you are? It doesn't make any sense.
Exactly. So it's very difficult for them to move you or push any buttons, right? And even if it was someone that you respected and thought was intelligent, you might say, well, wow, I'm surprised you say that. Tell me why. You may want to find out, right? And if you do a little exploratory, it's like, oh, you're basing it on that? Are you serious? Right. So, or okay, so you really don't have any proof for that. You just made a remark that it was a jab. Okay, now I see where you're coming from, right? So if you just do a little investigation, it has less of a chance of triggering you. And I've talked about living how I lived with women. I lived with two, the first one, and we lived together 5 years. And I remember one day we were having an argument about something, and I'm like, you know, what are you doing? What are you talking? You know, so we're shouting back. You know, it wasn't out of control, but there's this back and forth shouting. And she said something about, that's why you like men. I was like, what? What man have you seen me like? She said, what man don't you like? And man, I did exactly what you just did. I started laughing. I was like, man. So she could no longer defend her position. And so the only thing she could do was to make this attack. And I cracked up laughing. I walked up to her and hugged her. And she was like, get off of me. Leave me alone. Right. But now everything was fine. And I said, so whenever she would get mad again like that, I would say, and are you getting ready to tell me what man do I not like again? So she would laugh. It was a way to diffuse an argument and we could talk it through. But if I had no way of managing myself, I may have become very defensive, angry. Some guys even become violent in those situations. And so when I talk about self-mastery and whatever mastery I had back then, I was in my late 20s back then, doesn't compare to, you know, the way I've developed myself now. So I'm making it a really big point that, you know, you talk about mental health for men, it really needs to revolve around this kind of self-mastery and burning off, shedding a lot of things, unlearning things that we've been taught. Like you were talking about how we attempt to guilt men into feminism or other things. When you develop that kind of self-mastery, you become impervious to that. Like you can entertain a conversation about feminism and you can understand some aspects, but then you can see where it just goes off the rails. And maybe even most of it isn't even justifiable because women are asking for things without literally earning what they claim they want. In most cases, they don't really want things they say they want, like quality. Hey, Reggie, is that you?
Yeah, I'm finally back, man. I've been busy and everything. I've been looking for me. My phone was sitting here. I thought it had turned off, but yeah, I'm back. What's going on?
All right.
Anybody join the party?
Yes. We're across the pond in the UK. So, Miss Twist, you've spoken with him before.
Hello.
He was on the vaccination when I got cut off. He's still on the vaccination? Was that him talking about the vaccination? Yeah, talking about the vaccination?
Yeah, we talked about that. We're really, now we're focusing on mastery of self and being able to better navigate and manage conversations, not just in life.
Well, say that again. Mastery self something? What was that?
Mastering self so that you can more effectively navigate life, and that includes relationships with women or dealing with feminism, social challenges, or life in general, or business, say, friends.
Oh yeah. Hold on, man. I'm just looking at. I'm still at work. I'm just looking at something. It's crazy when you can't tell the boys from the girls any longer, man.
All right. Yeah, that happens.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I was looking. I'm like, man, I just see some stuff tonight. I'm like, man. Woo, boy. But, you know, yeah, I think that's very important. I think the mastery of the self, very important. I think it's very important not to, you know, not to get caught up in all that. I think a lot of times we've allowed ourselves to get caught up in this madness and stuff. I think, and, you know, and men personally really don't need a whole lot to really be happy, and you know, and I think a lot of times men, you know, just like some of this high value man and all of this other stuff, all you're gonna do is make yourself a high value target. You know, I mean, you can. Well, I guess you know what the problem is. A lot of these high value guys, predominantly in the melanated section of the world. I keep saying, you know, once they become high value, it really doesn't matter because they still deal with the low grade of chicks to get them caught up in all kind of crazy stuff. So that's a whole other issue there too. But I think it's just like me being able to master my temper, you know, your emotions. And, you know, I think a lot of problems with men, a lot of men is we've also been caught up in a lot of fantasy, you know. I think both genders in a way, because, you know, men get caught up in this fantasy. And then, you know, of course, these bras, you know, they got a fantasy of their ideal dream man or ideal situation and all of this stuff. So I think a lot of times we get caught up in fantasy. And I think that's very dangerous, particularly for a man these days, you know. Or be honest with yourself. It's about reality.
Hold it, Reggie. That's why we were talking about self-mastery, right? So you're less likely to get caught up in those things when you really develop and focus on self-mastery, right? Those. You see through those things. Those things don't have the impact and power on you. So,
yeah, but you know, just like you were saying, you know, one of your favorite words is the more deeper you get into yourself and mastering yourself and improving yourself. I mean, it don't even have to be economically or superficially, but once you get to a certain plateau mentally and stuff, you're going to notice that a lot of people really don't qualify. As you would like to say, you know what I mean?
And you accept that?
Well, yeah. I mean, the more deeper you get, even self-improvement financially, the smart. You know, I talk to my son all the time, and I says, you know, I don't know that no matter what these guys do, and like it, the guys who were raised in the community or in a certain low grade setting, they can become millionaires, but for some reason they don't seem to understand that their lives and their status and their position has changed, and they can't be dealing with a certain hold on who right over there. Yeah, you know, they still go out and deal with, you know, they at a whole nother level now, and somewhere in their mind they just can't understand. It didn't reach them, or somebody didn't tell them that, you know, you're at a whole nother level now. You can't deal with these type of people anymore. But no, they still deal with them and get their lives turned upside down. You know.
Yeah. So, Reggie, that's why I moved the conversation to mastering self. Right, so those are less likely to be problems. So you're talking about men who haven't invested in themselves to have that, to even have that kind of self mastery. So they're being fed by the media, basically, in the education system.
Well, Well, I don't know. I just know some of these guys, you know, some of the athletes, these rappers, and maybe even some of these celebrities.
Yeah, that's a different ballpark, right?
Those are not what we call high-value men.
Most of them have not invested in themselves, and that's why women are out there milking
it. Or like this one rapper out here, one rapper in L.A., he got these hood rats around him, and he's dealing with this hood rat, and something's going on, and he had to kick her out of his place. And I think he was trying to get her to put her on the payroll to work for him. But, she wanted this, she just wanted to be that girl or whatever. And he got rid of her, then he put her out of his mansion or his nice house in Orange County, wherever it is. Now, he's a rapper, and he buys her, he gets her own place, right? She gets pissed off, and he didn't go buy her. I think he just found her another place to stay, not in his place. So she went and busted out all the windows in the place. He was dealing with her and stuff, but now it's looking like,
Reggie, you know what? Let me ask you a question. You're in Atlanta, so it's a city. It has a lot of things. There are some heroin addicts and crack addicts in Atlanta, correct? Do you think there are heroin addicts there?
Yeah.
Okay. Are you worried about what they do and with whom they do it?
No.
Why not?
Because it's out of my control.
But do you even care?
Well, if I knew him,
with some crack addict and you don't know her, do you care?
No, I don't care.
Right. So when you start talking about some of these women, the hood rats and all that, I see them on the same level as you.
No.
Hear what I'm saying, Rich. When we talk about some of these people, to me, they are no different than a crack addict and a heroin addict. I'm not concerned about them. They're not on the radar.
Okay, that's right. But my whole point of it, I'm just making a point that when you get to a certain status or whatever, for some reason these guys can't understand that you're at a whole other level now. You have to lead all of this alone. You didn't made it. You didn't beat that. However you got there, whether you was an athlete, an entertainer, hit the lottery, whatever it is, you have an opportunity of a lifetime now. And these people, to be honest with you, if they really cared, or even if they was going to be around you, they wouldn't bring any negativity to your life.
They're not bringing negativity. They are bringing the people in their life who are a match for them. See, this is people
they
think money solves the problem. Money solves nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Money is technically meaningless, especially if you're not investing in
If you're not what?
The greatest investment you can make is in yourself. If you didn't do that, it's going to show, and the people who are like you are going to exploit.
Well, a parasite needs a source. So,
okay. Well, the person with money, they are a parasite also. They bring parasites around them. But to me, they're no different than a heroin.
Well,
I'm less concerned about this.
Okay. Well, anyway, the higher, you know, the more self-improvement you do, you will find yourself. And then again, like I keep saying, you will find yourself alone a lot. And you'll find out a lot of people really don't, you know, they don't qualify in you know, your word or, you know, okay, it's just like this. Like what you call it, red pill men or whatever. They really don't like to be around sense, you know. And you know, a lot of guys that I grew up with, they kind of sense of mangina, and I, you know, I can see that, you know, this that we, our relationship has changed quite a bit over the years, you know.
Right.
You know, and I just, like, you know, just the idea to be around that type of person, that's it, just irritates the shit out of my ass. You know what I mean?
Okay.
You know.
So then, mm-hmm. You know what the question becomes, Greg?
Oh, why are you around him?
That's one question. But the other question is, when you get around guys who really do have it together, how are you going to engage? How are you going to engage those new guys who are not like the simps you walked away from? So,
that's a smooth thing, because we can identify with each other.
We can identify.
I mean, it's like, you know, it's just like a good relationship, or you and a chick that come together. There ain't no, yes, huh? The golf cart. Yeah. What about it? It's on P level, and you can, yeah, just go down to the next level, park it anything 3232, and put your license plate in the kiosk. All right. Yeah, you know, I mean, it should be, you know, like a perfectly felt glove, and it fits real good. I met guys, you know, recently we started talking about, oh, man, he's on the same level. He's on the same level.
Right.
So when you and someone else sees the, you know, when somebody else views the world similar to you, and y'all can bounce stuff off each other and talk about things, and it's all cool, you know, that's a good experience. But being around some mangina-ass Negroes, that shit is just going to turn me off. It just turns me off.
It's like if those guys are always talking about women who are crack addicts or heroin addicts, you don't want to hear about them, right?
Or somebody who's always, you know, a hypocrite, or somebody who's always
I said. Stay with what I just said, right? You don't want to be sitting around talking about women who are heroin and crack addicts or alcoholics, right?
Right.
Because you're not dealing with those women.
No, I'm not dealing with anything, but I just tell you, know, if I'm around people or I understand what you're saying, but I have a point that I'm trying to make. It ain't about you right at this present moment, Ted. I'm making this, even compared to that, is that if I'm around people or friendly guys, and they always complain and they say, like, you know, they're a victim and this and that, I'm going to get the hell away from them.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to get the hell away from them. You know, hypocrites. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just me. I wasn't always this way now. So something happened. I wasn't always, you know, or maybe I swallowed the red pill or the black pill or something. And everything, I just, you know, I'm just a whole, you know, or me personally, I've evolved to a whole nother level in my own, you know, in my thinking, in my view of things. You know what I mean? So, you know, over time, you know, me personally.
Okay. I was saying that, Reggie, because you jumped in a conversation, you were really diving into self-mastery, right? how that works. But we were not talking about most people in your community really getting to this, talking about developing power so that you can affect it.
So, self-mastering, your goals, your achievement, you have to stay focused, though. You have to stay focused. It's kind of funny. When you all, there's always something, when you're trying to attain something or trying to do something, there's always something that's going to try to come, something's going to come into your life. Something's going to try to happen that's going to try to pull your energy and your attention away from, you know, what you're trying to do. I noticed that. It's always something like that, you know. You have to stay focused.
So when we talk about self-mastery, it's not really dealing with your goals and objectives. And it's really about mastering self. I mean, just think about martial arts. There's guys who have a mastery over self. And their training, the training they go through, the discipline, the commitment, so that they can practice martial arts and not be distracted by that single-minded focus. Like those samurais, you watch some of those samurais and their ability to use that sword like they're in a zone. That's a self-mastery. There's a self-mastery that they develop, and they can implement self-mastery or incorporate self-mastery in anything they do. But the self-mastery is the first. Follow me?
Yeah. Well, that might be more of a discipline and mental strength, mental focus.
That's what we're getting at. Exactly. So that when someone does say something to you, you're not triggered, and they're not just throwing you all over the place by saying stuff that you don't like, and you get upset every time. And now you're off. They can just throw you off course anytime they want, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah, you know, you didn't lost your focus and brought your emotions into it. Basically.
Right. And that's what Nick Twist was talking about, how sometimes a woman will make an emotional statement and she doesn't realize it's emotional. She actually thinks it's reality-based, but it's not. So a man who hasn't acquired some level of self-mastery, he may not see that. He may get caught up in her emotions and become defensive, or he may attack her.
Well,
Riz, you got a lot going on back there, man. It's quieter now. But hey, Miss Twist, is that did I characterize that properly, correct, accurately for what you were discussing? And
I guess so. I was gonna say, I remember something I've heard about like ages ago. So I guess it was some psychological thing. I don't know. I think it was something related to psychology, but it was basically like something to do with different voices that you can talk to people in, right? So there's something like there would be adult voice and there's child voice. There's a third one, and I cannot remember what it is now.
Oh, the parent. There's the parent.
Yeah. Is it adult? Is it adult, child, and parent?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, so you know what it is then. Yeah, I remember I learned about it years ago. And I like basically, you know, the general idea is, but it's basically from what I remember, like if you've got someone who communicates with someone like as a child, like if they engage you with a child's voice and you engage them back with a child's voice, then obviously that's not going to get anywhere. And I feel like despite the fact it's called a child voice, I think that's actually what a lot of adults do, you know, particularly in relationships. There's like a very childish way of dealing with it. And then I think the adult voice was more like the anger, but it's more like someone trying to tell the other person what to do. And, but it's like coming from this kind of, you know, I don't know. I don't remember as well, but I remember that basically the Our Voice was something that was more confrontational, but it was kind of like you're coming from a superior position, or you're acting like you're a superior
position. That would be more the parent, right? Wouldn't that be the parent with the child's superior position?
Maybe I'm getting them mixed up. I know that the one that was, I guess, the ideal was the one where you kind of act like you engage the situation in a way where you try to be more understanding, I guess.
That would be the adult. That's the adult.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. Yeah, so, yeah, I get that makes more sense. Yeah, so the parent one that's in the middle. So, yeah, so the adult voice is basically, like, because I just thought of it when you were saying about, like, a woman, like, a guy saying, like, basically the woman doesn't understand, she makes an emotional statement. And the guy, he doesn't also understand she's doing that, but he understands that what she's saying is wrong, but he doesn't know how to communicate it to her or how to respond or react in that situation.
Right.
Because as far as he can tell, she's just not getting it, and he can't get through to her. And he doesn't know how to communicate with her, and he doesn't understand that there's a bit of a barrier there. So he gets frustrated, and, you know, he gets angry. And I guess that's where he goes into the parent voice. You know, so she's in the child voice, and he's in the parent voice, and maybe he's, you know, taking out the anger on her, like an angry parent. But it could be the other way around. You know, like, it could be the woman doing it, whatever. But basically, I think guys, in general, should want to get to the point of where you've got the adult voice. You should want it to be a case of where you're